Views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Randy, off the internet.
No! No, come on! Leave me alone! But Sharon, I got stuff to do! I gotta see my credit rating, and I gotta send an email to Nelson and check out Foley's vacation photos.
You don't have to do all that now. You can do one more thing, and then it's bedtime.
One more thing?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Whoever this person is, he has played World of Warcraft nearly every hour of every day for the past year and a half. Gentlemen, we are dealing with someone here who has absolutely no life.
Paul Perillo.
Mom, tell them. Tell them I'm not fat, I'm just big bone. Tell them all their stories about how everyone in your family was big as a child and then filmed their bodies.
Oh, sweetie, those were all lies. You're just fat.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm a pretty bad kid.
Really? What's the worst thing you've ever done?
I stole the head off a statue once.
Andy Hart.
Wow, that's pretty hardcore. That's like this one time when I didn't like a kid, so I ground his parents up into chili and fed it to him.
Eric Scalavino.
I'm not going to be confused anymore just because you say I should be. My name is Butter. I'm 8 years old. I'm blood type O, and I'm bi-curious.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
What?
Been on your computer all weekend. Shouldn't you go out and socialize with your friends?
I am socializing, Arthard. I'm logged on to an MMORPG with people from all over the world and getting XP with my party using TeamSpeak.
I'm not an Arthard.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Wednesday here at Gillette Stadium. It's Jets week. And Patriots are preparing for the New York Jets, but the aftermath of the loss to the Giants lingers. Of course, the big news yesterday, Albert Haynesworth cut from the team. We kind of hinted at that during the show that we thought that that might be a possibility. And sure enough, just toward the end of PFW in Progress yesterday, Ian Rappaport was the first to release it, but it was soon confirmed by everybody else. And so Albert Haynesworth is no longer a New England Patriot. Bill Belichick in his press conference today said that it just didn't work out. Also said that, you know, he had some physical limitations that he was dealing with. I don't know how much of that was the issue, but it was clear that the time had run out for him. The fact that he just couldn't get on the field enough, and when he was on, the display that happened in that Giants game was just the last straw. And so they cut ties with Albert Haynesworth. I don't think it's that big a deal at this point, because, you know, he wasn't doing much. It was kind of a no-risk thing that only if he started becoming a disruption to the rest of the team could it hurt them. If that was going to happen, they cut that off at the knees. So before that could happen, he's gone. Other moves today, Josh Barrett sent to IR. What the hell is going on with the secondary? Or as who was it, the coach? What the hell's going on out there?
Vince Lombardi.
Vince Lombardi.
Heard of him?
Yeah. I mean,
what the hell are you guys up to now?
What is going on with that secondary? I mean, who's left? It's unbelievable. Paul's here. He just got back from the locker room. Paul, you want to weigh in on
Freddie?
Haynesworth at all?
No, I think you summed it up. I think we talked about it a lot yesterday. I was not in favor of the move to begin with. I didn't see. The only thing I will say from a positive perspective is that I don't think you've lost much. The only thing that really you lose is you were hoping that he would be a part of your defense.
Right.
And he wasn't.
Right.
So you've lost that. You know, maybe he was out there. Maybe he had something to do with the reasoning behind moving to a four-man front. You know, maybe you had some thoughts and ideas about how you might want to employ him, and you weren't able to do that. That's the only negative. You didn't lose a lot of money. You didn't lose a high draft pick, and you certainly didn't waste a lot of time trying to get him up to speed. You cut ties with him half a season in. So, a gamble worth taking to me? No. But I don't think they lost much in doing it.
But how about the secondary? I mean, Is this a lost cause at this point?
Well, no, I don't think really it, I don't have any different opinion today than I did yesterday with Josh Barrett. I mean, I think, you know, if Devin McCourty or Patrick Chung are out for long term, maybe even Kyle Arrington, then I would say, well, that's a significant blow. But the other guys, to me, are all interchangeable parts, and quite frankly, I don't think they're all that valuable interchangeable parts. But that's like we talked about this yesterday, too. That's of your own doing.
Well, they solved the wide receiver problem. They signed Jaquan Underwood.
Correct. And he still, just I am here to report, he still has the fabulous high-top fade.
High-top fade haircut. This is a guy, in case people don't remember, I think it was the fourth preseason game they signed him, yeah. And they targeted him, like, it seemed like 10 passes in a row. He caught half of them.
Yeah, he went 50-50, but given the circumstances that he was signed under,
right.
Yeah, he did what he could. And I think it was Eldridge a couple of weeks ago called up and said, all right, you know, so Randy Moss isn't the answer. Why not go and get Tyquan Underwood? I think.
Right.
And he remembered that preseason. You know, he came in and they threw the ball to him and he caught it, you know, a few times. Well, they had the same thoughts. They went out and signed him.
I got news for you. He's not the answer either.
I would agree with that, but.
But it was very interesting. Ms. Mano from Comcast Sportsnet New England talked to Bill Belichick in the press conference today specifically about Randy Moss and, you know, asked him, when's the last time you talked to Randy Moss? He wouldn't answer the question.
No, he said he would rather keep it between, you know, conversations between players, stay with, you know, between, you know, the two of them. And then she followed up saying, you know, if he had any plans to sign him. And he said he didn't think it was appropriate to talk about players that aren't on the team. But clearly there was a little bit of an edge to the question and to the answer. I didn't read anything into it beyond that. I don't know, and I'd be interested to see if Andy has a different opinion. I don't know if I would say, well, based on Bill's answer, I think they're going to sign him, or based on Bill's answer, I don't think there's any chance they're going to sign him.
Well, and the thing is,
I don't think he let anything really be read.
Yeah, I don't think they are, and the reason why is because if they were going to do it, they'd do it very quickly, because you got to get him here. You got to get him practicing. So what's the benefit of waiting? You know, if you're going to do it, they would have done it.
Well, maybe they're not ready to pull the plug on Ocho yet.
If
you bring in Moss, you're pulling the plug on Ocho.
You think so?
Yes. Just like if you deactivate Ocho, I think you're pulling the plug.
If that's the case, then he's definitely not coming.
They keep saying how much they are willing to ride this out with Ocho. Now, I don't know if they're being honest about it, but
they could say that right up until the day they cut him.
That's the company line right now, is that they feel like it's progressing. They you know, they feel like the parties are working hard to get it, to make it work.
Well, we don't see practice, but what are they seeing in the game that we don't? Because two people could not be further apart in terms of being on the same page. Like I said, every incomplete is an event. You know,
You're right. I can't argue with that. Every incomplete, that's a perfect way to put it, the way you said it yesterday.
Yeah. Well, at least this week, you can say he got behind the defense, right?
Yeah, on the post pattern, he was behind the defense.
It was better
defense,
than last
yes.
week when it looked like he should not be on a football field. He couldn't compete. The DB was the one who was running, not him.
Well, maybe the problem is Tom Brady. Maybe Tom Brady. No. I'm not saying
this. Listen,
I almost fell off my chair.
I'll say this. Tom Brady did not play well on Sunday.
But
he was part of the problem.
When it comes to Ocho, maybe the problem is Tom Brady, and this is what I mean by that.
Wow.
That he just has to forget who it is, you know, that's running that route, and just,
I don't think Ocho wants that to happen, because I think if that happens, he's not out there, he's not on the team.
No, but, and just say, okay, he's running a slant, I'm just going to fire it to him, and don't wait, don't have any hesitation, assume that he's as good as Wes Welker, and get him the ball.
How many snaps did he play on Sunday? I don't know the answer.
Ocho Cinco?
Yeah.
I don't know, must have been like seven or eight.
Seemed like a little more than he has.
I got to think his target percentage per number of snaps.
Really?
I mean, you were targeted five times. I can't imagine he was on the field for more than 10 snaps.
But I thought he played a little more than that, but you might be right. I didn't look at the...
So I feel like he is saying,
I didn't look at the Reese report.
I'm throwing the ball there. I'm going to him.
But even on that little post that he had, he was, you know, maybe Brady couldn't, but if he had thrown it a little bit sooner, you know, Ocho had separation.
Right. But he was
open.
Not on the same page.
Well, that's what I mean. But
He threw it sooner last week, probably thinking he can run under it, and he couldn't run under it. The only guy who had a chance to run under it was the DB.
I think you needed to change those plays.
If
he had run the route that he did against the Giants, against Pittsburgh in the middle of the field, I think Tom gives him a chance to run under it, and maybe there's a chance because he was open. I think in this play,
by the way, we still have to say, given the Buffalo catch, not only does he have to run under it, he has to also catch it.
No, but I think that this one, and I'm not making Tom blameless on the throw because maybe he should have thrown it earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I personally think that the guy covering Ocho Cinco let him get to a spot where he was boxed in, and if it was thrown anywhere, he was either going to be able to do what he did, Corey Webster, knock it away, or it was going to have to be out of the end zone.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he could have thrown it earlier and with less air, and I think it was completable. But I don't fault Brady. I wouldn't be throwing anything early with Ocho Cinco because I'd be scared to death.
Well, that's the thing, and I don't blame him for being scared to
death.
You
have to earn the right.
But maybe he's just got to, like, say, you know what? I know this might not work out, but I just got to do it and see what happens.
For how long? How long can you go down that road?
One game. Try it. Okay. Or one series.
But you can't just throw games away.
No. Or
one series. Trying to do stuff.
Or one guy.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, what leads you to believe he can still have a huge positive impact, that he's worth risking?
Fred's not alone. Talking to some people around here, not necessarily people involved in football, but that work here with us, and Fred's not alone. There's people that think that they can still be salvaged.
The benefit of...
I think he can be salvaged so that he could be... You know, what Deion Branch is now, or a little bit better than that.
I don't think he can do that. I think he could do what he did so far in the first half.
You think he can have a big impact? Oh, I think he can do more than that, but I don't think he could have a big positive impact.
I'm not talking about 100-yard game impact. I'm talking about another viable option for Tom Brady. That's all I'm looking for.
But what does that translate to?
Is
Deion a viable option right now?
4 or 5 catches a game.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
no chance.
Yeah, I
think there's no chance of that.
Yeah. No.
4 or 5 catches a game?
Yeah.
If he has a game with 4 or 5 catches, I will be stunned. And I've said that since like week 2. Andy's been yelling at me about it.
Because you're thinking it's one thing. It's not one thing.
All right.
He hasn't caught the ball well. He hasn't run routes well. He hasn't made the reads well.
Clearly, the quarterback doesn't have that much interest in doing it.
Hold on for a second. Okay, hold on for a second. You mean to tell me that, you know, forget about Gronkowski, Hernandez, and Welker, because, you know, those are your main targets. You mean to tell me that Edelman, Taylor Price, who else do we have? Branch, those three guys. If they're given significant snaps, 4 to 5 catches in a game, it's too much to ask for? I don't think so.
Well, first of all, they all don't have the same issues.
Wait a minute. Am I thinking that any of those other guys? I mean, Branch is the only one that I could say could give you 4 or 5 catches.
I think if you line up Edelman enough, he's done it already.
Only if Welker's not on the field.
This is what I'm saying. I know that.
Well, if Welker's not on the field, then I think Ocho could get you 4 or 5 catches.
If Hernandez is hobbled and Welker's not on the field, he may throw to him 15 times and get 5 catches.
Because Edelman got those catches because he was the option.
Right.
You remember a couple times he did that and we said he had to throw to him twice as often to get the same number?
16 to get 8 catches against the Jets in week 2.
You could probably get that out of Ocho. I'm talking about they're a good, productive offense, and he's just finding ways to contribute 5 passes. I don't know if that's possible.
Yeah. Now, if Welker's out of the equation.
If that's not possible, then what the hell are we doing?
Let me ask you a question.
I don't think.
What do you think he does well right now? Why would you, what beyond his name would lead you to believe it's worth that investment?
I'm asking that question.
Nothing.
I don't know.
What if I just told you,
I started this out by saying, what do they see that we don't?
Nothing. Except a dollar sign and a name. That's all they see. Because if you said, receiver number 85 has done this in the beginning of his career in New England, he wouldn't be here.
But Fred,
he hasn't caught
five,
the ball.
Five?
He hasn't got off the line of scrimmage. He hasn't run crisp routes. Right? Are those all fact? Hasn't got off the line of scrimmage at times.
It seems that way from what we know.
So he is a compilation of everything you could do wrong at the receiver position through
but
the first 8
games. But you say 5 catches a game as if that's like a...
4 to 5 catches a game.
5 catches a game is 80 for the season. Did you think he was going to catch 80 passes?
Well, we were hoping for 50.
I think that was what a lot of people were hoping for, yeah.
That ship has sailed.
You have it as significantly higher than that.
Yeah, I don't.
And when the guy has done nothing for half a season.
Yeah, I think if you can't, if he doesn't have the ability to catch 4 or 5 catches in a game.
But what do you mean by that? Again, within the confines of a productive, healthy offense?
If he gets, yes.
He could do that in one game.
Look, I think if Edelman was out there as much as Deion Branch, I don't think it'd be unrealistic to say he should catch 4 or 5 balls.
Okay.
And I don't think it's unrealistic.
He wouldn't.
And we're criticizing Deion Branch for not doing
that. In my opinion,
right?
he should be.
He should be.
But in my opinion, none of those guys would do it as long as Gronk and Welker and Hernandez are also on the field. But none of those other guys would get that many opportunities.
But you guys had a story just today that, or was it yesterday, that these guys are being targeted to, or was it Patriots Today, I guess? I don't know.
No, it was us. That was us. That was Andy's idea, and I put it together.
That they're targeting, you know, Gronk and Welker too much.
Just like they did when Hernandez was out the first time.
So if they stop doing that,
but
somebody's got to catch the balls. I don't think it's unreasonable that it could be Branch or it could be a guy like Ocho, or it should be a guy like Ocho. Now, he may not be able to.
But he might be able to catch a couple balls. You're talking about five a game. You're going from zero to five.
Well, and he could have caught five on Sunday, right?
Well, he
ran out for five passes where he was targeted.
Right.
The problem is, as you say, well, what do you keep describing it as? It's an event.
An event. Right.
That's how bad it is.
Right.
It's an event.
Right.
What I'd like to
you expect all those events to suddenly work themselves out and be fine.
What I'd like to see them do, and we talked about this yesterday as well, is maybe just go out and just say, all right, this is the first series. Chad, we're just going to run a quick hitch or a quick screen if they're not. I mean, screen probably be hard because I think right now teams are just crowding the line of scrimmage.
It's a lot of time.
But maybe
involved.
You say, listen, Chad, we're just going to run a quick out to you or a quick slant, anything. Well, I'm going to get the ball to you in the first two or three plays of the game.
They used to do that to Moss.
I want to get you involved right away and get you going.
Yeah.
Now, personally,
the trouble is they've run all those routes and it doesn't work.
I'm
he runs the out and he pushes off and the timing's gone.
Right.
Could have easily had a penalty.
I can't.
He runs the slant
with
and
all
he fades.
With all the offensive interference you see, by the way, can you believe they didn't call that?
Maybe they would had he caught it.
I don't think so.
But I like that. I like the idea of, look, we're going to get the ball to you real early. You know, establish.
That might not be a bad idea. I'm kind of with Andy. I even then, I don't think there's any guarantees because it's been so sporadic.
But then at that point, if that doesn't even work, then my God, he really is taking up a spot that somebody like a Taylor Price could be, you know.
Tom Curran asked my question of Brady, and it's that what I really believe is it's hard because he's trying. He's doing, saying, acting right, practicing. He's trying.
I know.
It's easy to cut a turd like Albert Haynesworth, right?
Right.
It's harder to cut a guy that you think has a chance to still be good because Bill probably still somewhere in his head may think
so
that.
So then go back. What do they see that we don't?
Dollar signs and name.
Well,
I don't think anything they've seen since he arrived here leads them to believe he can be great here. In my personal opinion, I've seen nothing.
I mean, well, if you had to guess,
I'm not looking.
If you had to guess, would you say that there's what are the percentage of chances you think he's with the Patriots next year?
Very low.
As of right now, zero.
Yeah. Zero. As of right now, to me too.
Yeah.
Zero.
If something changes over the second half, maybe minimal, but probably zero.
No, if he does the Fred thing and he catches 40 passes in the second half,
that ship has sailed.
Bring him back. I just don't see it happening. I think this, could there be a one-game aberration where all of a sudden you say, hey, you know what? At least for one game, that was the guy we thought we were quiet. Yeah, that could happen. I don't think it's going to happen consistently. Not now.
I just think even just a little flip to him. Coming around, speaking of which, in motion and you flip to him. He gets some blockers in front of him. And I just vision they do that and he fumbles.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that's the way it's going, Fred.
Yeah.
It's something like the drop in Buffalo was kind of like that. Sorry about that.
So, all right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. 508-298-0398. By the way, we're not going to do any phone calls if you don't give us your name. So you can take that off. So if you want to call up, give us your name or don't call.
Who didn't want to give their name?
Somebody from New York.
See what I did there? Who didn't want to give their name?
Webradio@patriots.com, 508-298-0398.
Why is he not letting participation in the show?
I have no problem with that. If you're not willing to put your name next to it, you can't come on the air.
Why? Right. Yeah.
Why?
Why?
Could be some criminal hack.
Well, even make up your name. I don't care, but don't say I'm not giving
my
name.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Don't be obstinate.
I have no problem.
Could be some DB.
Well,
from New York.
Right. I mean, if you're gonna be like that right off the bat, you can make up names.
It's not that hard to say it's Bill.
Right.
Even though your name is Ted.
Right. So
you guys tougher than me. You want me to tell you?
This is our show.
That's right. We run it the way we want to run.
No problem. You guys can make up your rules. So I don't care.
All right. Web radio.
I take you all on the JetBlue Patriots pregame social. You can call and give whatever name you want.
And by the way,
week it was the Jets Blue Patriots.
Last two shows, though. Right. A month ago, you said it about
at least
times.
I was able to get the rest of the English language out.
My reaction to the Belichick Moss questioning was that he now is going the Paul Perillo route on female reporters. The last two press conferences have ended with him being asked questions by female reporters that he looked like he wanted to fight. I mean, he was glaring again. He wasn't doing the head nod.
He even gave the thank you.
Why wasn't a bro
thank you.
Why should he get so upset about that? That question.
I mean, you could say that 1,000 times over the years.
Oh no, I could see why he got upset at the question at the end of the game press conference.
Oh yeah, yeah,
you
yeah.
Know,
yeah.
We're talking post game against the Giants.
No, I'm talking about today.
Someone's asking about the Jets. Today's question was an innocuous question. Why
he's not
he
on another
so
team? He's not on another team, so you don't have to worry about any
and that's,
of that.
And that's the difference. He's not. You're not violating any sort of ethics or principles by talking about a guy who's currently out of work and who, by the way, has consistently said he would be willing to come back to your team.
Right.
So it's not an unfair question. Now, the question at postgame, I would have gone off the same way that Bill did on that. Matter of fact, I don't know how he didn't do even more. Based on the mood he was in.
I mean, the answer Bill gave was fine, but I don't know why he would be upset about it. Same answer, but, you know, I'm just not going to talk about people who aren't on this team. But you saying that he seemed upset about it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, he had an edge. He had an edge. There was an edge to the question, and there was an edge to the answer, I thought.
I didn't really get the edge from the question.
Oh, yeah. No, and I even talked to her about it, too. We were laughing about
maybe, maybe that's why he had an edge, because he detected an edge from
her. No, I don't know. The original question was fine. But when he answered the original question in his roundabout way, and we always say this, why do they let him get away with that? She didn't. She interrupted him, you know, with the whole thank you. And she didn't care about the thank you. She was going to ask her follow-up question. That's where I thought there was a little edge there. But she did a good job. It was a fair question.
Sure.
Do you have any plans to sign Randy Moss? There's nothing wrong with that question.
Yeah. The only thing that's wrong with that is she's a Tebow supporter.
Yeah, that is true. That's unfortunate.
Oh, my respect for her just went up.
At least she has a reason.
Well, what's her reason?
She went to school with him.
So?
That's a reason to ignore the fact that he can't complete 50% of his passes.
Fred is a big Florida fan because they won a title in the last 5 years.
That's a good point, Andy. Good point.
All right.
Shut up, fat mouth.
I'm not even listening. Robin Marble says the Tuesday show called it. Goodbye, Haynesworth. Any idea what happened between him and Pepper Johnson? Who's going to be next? Didn't you think it would be Ocho first?
No.
And
he's not a DB. He's not. He's the exact opposite. He's smiling. He's playing his part. He's practicing.
And here's a guy who's doing, as they tell us, everything he can against
the guy. I buy that, right? You all buy that?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Against a guy who isn't.
Right.
You know, so the guy who isn't gets good.
I mean, there's even there was a report yesterday, and I use the word report loosely. Michael Felger takes all these calls from people from Worcester who claim they're friends of his,
right?
Like
his
butcher, his barber, his this, and they claim they wanted him to get in shape, and he refused. He wouldn't.
Yeah, they wanted him to go on a
P90X or something.
He did say that. I heard that.
I didn't really buy it, but you know, that's really bad because he said he came here fresh slate, you know, rebuild the Haynesworth name and all that stuff. And they ask you to lose 20 pounds and you say no or whatever? I mean, that's ridiculous.
Andy and I argue about bigger disappointment, Ocho Cinco or Haynesworth for the upcoming PFW TV show. And I took Ocho as my bigger disappointment. Andy took Haynesworth. I wholeheartedly agree, however, that if you're asking me which one of them should have gone first, Haynesworth should go first because not only is he not producing, but he's a turd who's not trying. Ocho is giving you everything he has. I'm more disappointed in Ocho because I expected a lot more out of Ocho. I thought he was the better player and had more to offer. I didn't expect anything out of Haynesworth, and that's why I chose the way I chose. But I agree with Andy on the surface. Ocho's still here because he's still with the program.
Right.
He's still doing everything that Bill Belichick and Tom Brady are asking him to do. It's just not working yet.
You know what's horrible? Some teams have worse seasons than this every year. The show's awesome. The JETS can cram it where the sun don't shine. And John in L.A. needs to get me some more in plain sight because I need a fix.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, what's going on with in plain sight? Is it off season right now? Or they on a hold because she's
John,
baby?
I apologize, but I've only seen the show once.
Oh.
It was good, the show I saw.
Solid.
Well, a lot of those non-network shows run on totally different calendars.
Yeah.
They do. They try to.
They
get
do
you
that
in
intentionally.
The
yes.
And, yeah. So maybe it's one of those. Maybe it'll be back in the summer.
Let's go to the phones. Now, I think this is LeVar from New York, who's now giving us his name. Hey, LeVar.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Thanks for calling back, LeVar. I would have taken your call the first time.
So what's your real name?
LeVar is my real name.
Oh, okay.
Maybe this isn't the guy who called me.
I don't get my real name when I call in.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, I've like never it. Called this radio station. But I just, okay, you know, I was just listening to what you guys are saying. Now, you guys are saying that Ocho's doing everything that he can do. So why can't he catch the ball? Why is he always out of position and getting penalties?
That's the question. That's the $50,000 question.
Because he doesn't get it.
But
this is my thing.
What is there to get?
Whoa. What is there to get?
Yeah.
There's multiple reads for every receiver on every play.
And all that. These other guys can do it.
I think the bigger
problem
is
physical. So we're back to the JG rule. We're back to the JG rule of you either get it or you don't, right?
Okay, so let me ask you guys this. Since you're sticking up for Ocho Cinco, right? And don't get me wrong, he's put up good numbers in Cincinnati. He didn't really do much last year for them. Mm-hmm. But you're playing with Tom Brady. Come on. He's one of the best quarterbacks, if not on his way to being the best quarterback if he wins another Super Bowl. So why is it that he can't get on the same page? I mean, I watch all the Patriot games. Little 5-6 yard out routes he struggles with. He can't block. So it's like they have no deep threat. He was supposed to be the deep threat. So why is it that he can't do it? What is the problem? What's his issue?
Well, part of it, I think, is physical. I don't think he's half the receiver he once was. But I think the bigger issue is the precision of the offense. Brady is great, but only if you are where you're supposed to be. He will make you better if you run the route the exact same way. They're not joking when they say, if you run what's supposed to be at 4.5, if you run it at 5, you're off.
Exactly.
And that's
you're
what
right.
He is. He's off. The timing's off. He pushes off. That throws the timing off. He's a half a step late on the outbreak, and the ball zips by. Right? I mean, it's that simple. It makes it look terrible, but it's off by a half a stride, and the whole thing blows up on every play.
My thing is, right, why don't they give Price and Slater more playing time? Yep. What's the issue with that?
You're preaching to the choir. The one problem with Price is we've heard similar things, that he may not know that he isn't always aware of what he's doing, making the right read, running the right route, that the precision in his route running in game may not be up to what Brady's looking for.
Okay, so I got to also have a question on the defensive side. I heard y'all talking about Alvin Haynesworth. Yeah, I had heard something about he didn't want to get in shape. But it was the same story in Washington. But there's a lot of other guys on the defense that he could have cut before Haynesworth.
Well, but, I mean, you're talking about a guy who has potential, isn't trying, isn't living up to it, potentially a bad egg. Plus, by the way, he was fifth in your D-line rotation on the inside. So it's not even like you're cutting a guy who was getting huge reps.
Right.
So if you're hoping for addition by subtraction, he is the obvious candidate.
Now, I don't know what happened. What made him decide to cut Lee Bottom? What was that about?
That's a good question. That is a good question.
Why didn't he cut Kyle Arrington? If you're going to cut somebody, why not cut him?
Well, Kyle Arrington.
Kyle Arrington's been your best cornerback.
Right. He's making plays for you and, by all accounts, does what he's told, is happy with his role. I mean, there were rumblings that Lee Bodden was unhappy.
So much, though.
But that's who he is. You're looking at it from pure talent standpoint.
Lee Bodden's hurt all the time, too.
Burned.
Yeah, I can agree with you. He's always hurt. That I will give you.
But from a pure talent standpoint, I believe Lee Bodden is more talented than Kyle Arrington. But that's not, if he's not trying, if he's not on board, if he doesn't want to play inside,
and
if he doesn't want to rotate.
And I also think that, you know, if you don't, you can maybe not believe Belichick, but he says that, you know, it's next game. It's the next practice. And I think that he looks at this season, we're at the 8th game, you know, we're right in the middle of it, and we're on the precipice. We can either go one way or the other.
Yep.
And if there's a guy that I think that is going to cause trouble and is not contributing to the level where I'm going to, you know, turn a blind eye to that trouble, he's got to go right now or it's going to be too late.
Well,
and I think that was part of Bodden was he's not worth the headache because he's moping around. He doesn't like his role. Okay, see you later. We got a season to get, you know, through, and you're not helping us. And the same with Haynesworth.
Okay, I can agree with that. So what do you think happened with McCourty this year? Was last year just like a lucky year for him, even though he was a rookie last year? He's not doing the same thing this year.
That's the million-dollar question.
And they're still throwing to him.
Yep.
It's not like he's not getting the action. They're throwing to his side of the field.
They're throwing to his side plenty, more than any other corner in the NFL.
Exactly. He's like a victim this year.
I don't understand. I don't know if it's just confidence, if it's technique, if we were falsely praising him last year, if he wasn't. My guess is he wasn't as good as he played last year, and he's not as bad as he's playing right now. He's somewhere in the middle. But I don't know. I don't know why the huge year two. Paul has the theory that people have thrown out there that, you know, coaching and guys get by playing on pure talent when they first get here. And the more they think, the more they're coached, they take a step back.
Yeah, it's not necessarily my theory. It's just one I bring up because I've heard some defensive backs sort of make some veiled references to that. And Andy and I are not sure whether or not it's an example of the defensive backs sort of giving themselves an out.
Right.
Thanks for the call, LeVar.
That was a good call.
Yeah.
You know what I liked about him? He stayed very, like,
calm. Not like you and me.
No. Not
very
like you
calm,
at all.
Level-headed.
Let's see. Emailers.
I recognize my foibles.
Emailer
says.
Did you see the photo I tweeted out, Fred?
I'm off my game. I'm off my game today. This Penn State thing really has me upset. I'm really off my game.
Pete Shepard will handle that in the 4 o'clock hour.
I'm just so upset with the whole. And I know that he still might be out of a job. And you know,
I gotta think he will be.
The comment, just the arrogance of him to say, "I'm gonna retire at the end of the year." There's no reason for them to be discussing me. Really?
Right.
Like, I would think someone in his position would have resigned as quickly as he could at his age and get the hell out of the spotlight as fast as I can.
Are you sure he's of sound mind?
By all accounts, he is. But I can only go on what I
know. I heard
him
speak, and I didn't think he really sounded.
Well, you know what I also thought? And I'm glad you brought that up, too. Just a quick little diversion from all this negative Patriots stuff.
Oh, good. We'll get into pedophilia.
Right. No.
This is way better, Paul.
No, listen, it's obviously there's no right-minded guy that would talk about the pedophilia in any way other than utter disgust, which we all would agree on. But I'm talking more about Penn State and Joe Paterno in particular. I've heard interviews with him in post-game interviews like this year after the Illinois game. I think it was the 409th win, the one that gave him the record. You know, listen, he's an old guy. He's 84. He sounds like an 84-year-old man. But he's talking, and you can hear him, you can understand him. Yesterday, with that absolute travesty of a pep rally at his house, which the fact that there's that many people that could support, in my mind, I'm going to say it, pedophilia, that's what you're doing by rallying at Joe Paterno's house. There's no other way to put it. And then do you listen to Joe Paterno's comments then? It sounded like the guy, you know, is fighting death.
Pulled a Sammy Sosa.
Yeah.
I'm just an old man.
You couldn't even understand.
Baseball's been very, very good to me.
don't fall for it. Don't think that wasn't intentional.
Yeah.
He intentionally said, I'm going to put on this frail. It's the John Henry thing. John Henry does it for the Red Sox. Only John Henry's 30 years younger than Paterno. I'm going to put on this old frail guy act, and maybe I'll generate some sort of sympathy, and people will say exactly what Andy just said. Is he of sound mind? Because he certainly didn't look it, you know, when he was talking, and ESPN had to actually put subtitles up because you couldn't even understand what he said. And by the way, he did say, and they were talking about this on the radio, but I saw it again today. He said, "We'll say a prayer for the children, the victims, or whatever you want to call, or whatever they're calling them, or whatever you want to call them." What other word do you have for it, Joe? What other word would be appropriate? I'm open. You know, if victim is not appropriate for you, what's appropriate? I don't normally get like that mad about moral kind of stuff, but this is so different. And this is the greatest. And John Dennis and Jerry Callahan said this today with Jeremy Schapp. This is the greatest sports scandal ever. Yeah. This is the single largest sports scandal ever.
The fact that they had this monster in their midst for so long, you know, it's just unbelievable. And the kid that first came out that they didn't believe, he said, after I read that grand jury testimony, I cried because I realized that if they had believed me when I said it, all this wouldn't have happened. You know?
It's true. It's too soon for jokes, right?
I'm just so angry about.
So I can't ask if Sandusky was your middle school gym teacher that allowed.
Yeah. Anyway, web radio at patriots.com.
Sandusky did coach at BU, you know. You sure he wasn't at DY?
No.
Did he really?
It wasn't at DY that this happened. It was at the Nathaniel Wixon Middle School.
Sorry.
Nathaniel, just the whole name. Nathaniel Wixon Middle School.
I went to the Albert Norton Parlin Junior High School.
Web emailer says, I figured it out. Bill's problem is Randy Moss and Wes Welker and Lawrence Maroney. When Bill got Wes and Randy in 07, it planted the seed in his mind that wash-ups and nobodies can do great things with him. What about Corey Dillon? Anyway, he's been trying to find these guys with a few successes, Woodhead and Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and many more failures. Lawrence showed him his first-round picks might be bigger busts and get him even more criticism. Maybe he's getting soft and cares what people say. Then again, it is Stone Cold Bill Belichick. Just one pizza?
He's shaking Kevin? His head in there, too.
Just one?
Well, he hit success with reclamation projects all along. Like you said, Corey Dillon.
There's a lot of them.
Rodney Harrison. Right. You know, Roman Pfeiffer.
There's guys that you don't even really...
Dating back to the beginning.
There's even guys... I mean, there's a lot of guys that, like Roman Pfeiffer and Rodney Harrison, are just kind of reclamation projects. But there's even some... like a guy like Ted Washington. Mm-hmm. It's a guy that didn't have a great reputation that came in here and gave him a great year in 2003. These things are so much different to me. Randy Moss and Corey Dillon, Ocho Cinco, and Haynesworth are all sort of lumped in as the quote-unquote bad guys that are brought in. And the huge difference to me, especially with Corey Dillon, I didn't like Corey Dillon, Fred. You knew that. I never liked him from the start. But the one thing I never said about Corey Dillon is that he didn't want to play football.
Care
no.
About the numbers.
He didn't care about
He'd
football.
Rush for 200 and then bitch.
But I just remember watching a guy. I didn't like his off-field stuff. I never had any problem with him on the field. That day that he left Cincinnati knowing it was his last game and he threw his stuff, I could feel the frustration. I didn't criticize anything that he did that day when he was just so frustrated with nothing else other than incompetent losing for the team that he was given everything he had for. That's a guy to me.
But that's the same with Ocho. Ocho is the same.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely. The difference is Haynesworth. Haynesworth is the opposite.
Right.
Haynesworth is a guy that football was never important
Haynesworth,
to.
There's similarities to Moss, dogging it on the football field. Moss was a better player more often, but there were still times when you said, he's not trying. He's
and
dogging
Haynesworth,
it. He doesn't care.
But Haynesworth always dogged it, whereas it seemed to me, and this might be because I like Randy a little bit, but it seemed to me that Randy dogged it when he felt like things weren't going well.
Right. The difference is the aberrational year was a great year for Haynesworth, was a bad year for Moss. Most of Moss's years, he was productive and good. Haynesworth is only productive and good when he wants to be productive and good. The rest of the time, he tanks it.
I mean, right. Moss had a 1,000-yard year in Oakland when he wasn't trying.
Right, right.
And you can never accuse Moss of not being in shape.
Right.
You know, Nathan from Southern California, this season reminds me a lot of 2009, where we had character issues inside the locker room and many players played frustrated throughout the entire year. The questions I have for you guys are, if you think the Patriots will win this game against the Jets, I don't. The Jets are playing better, and we are playing worse. And if they don't win, do the Patriots have the mental fortitude to move forward and seriously compete for the division? Fred, lead the charge. Well, we're going to get to that tomorrow when we do our picks. Right?
Well, you can talk about the game without saying your pick. In my opinion, this game is the opposite of last week, where all the streaks, numbers, and everything told you should take the Patriots. Everything tells you you should take the Jets. They're playing better. They're trending on a three-game winning streak. You're on a two-game losing streak. You're on a two-game losing streak going to New York. Their defense is playing much better. They were giving up 30 points a game earlier in the year. Now they're giving up 20, 11, and 9 or whatever it is. They're, you know, opposing quarterbacks are having no success against them. The Patriots quarterback isn't playing well. The offense is struggling to score 20. Every single number tells you to pick the Jets. But we learned last week, sometimes it works out the other way, and the visiting team gets the job done. So if you're grasping at straws, there's your straw.
Okay.
And Vegas has them favored, right?
No, they're underdogs.
Oh, I thought it was even.
But it's like 1 point. Yeah, it was a pick 'em.
I consider that a favorite, though.
It opened as a pick 'em, and then I think the Jets are favored by one. Yeah, strippers, like, misrepresented me on that.
I don't know what you're talking
about.
Yeah. I saw your thing, you know, saying the Everett boys gave him the number. No. Right. I just was very surprised that it opened as a pick 'em. I thought the Jets would be a three or four point favorite.
Matt in Southern Cal, hey guys, I'm listening to yesterday's podcast.
It's good.
Hearing you guys defend Sergio Brown's penalty by saying the Giants would have got the yards anyway. I disagree.
I didn't defend the penalty.
No, we were criticizing the Patriots because people were saying, well, if it wasn't for the penalties, and we were saying they would have still got the yards anyway. That wasn't defending Sergio. But anyway, he
and
says,
if anything, I've called him the worst player that's ever put the uniform on in the Bill Belichick era.
I disagree. The defense got a lot of praise for their first half performance, and they have been doing well in the red zone all year. We had a chance to hold them to three and got to OT, and they blew it because we had a Jag rookie with the game in his hands. If cutting Haynesworth was supposed to send some kind of message to the other players, then Brown needs some kind of consequence too. I hope he learns and improves since we can't get Troy Brown back. But the young guys that screw up need to be held responsible. Thanks for giving us fans a place to vent. F the Jets.
Wait, aren't young guys expected to screw up? Isn't that what happens? You're young, you're inexperienced.
Well, I mean, he's going to be held responsible in probably less snaps.
I wouldn't assume
if,
that.
Except for injuries.
Right, Josh Barrett's on IR. He's going to have to play.
He only had one snap.
No.
Did you know that?
But that's because Josh Barrett played.
Because I didn't. I'm being dead serious.
Right?
Yeah, no, Mike told me that. Mike Reese, who generally charts that stuff, he had one snap in that game.
But that's because Barrett played.
Yes.
He's going to start playing again.
Right.
Yes.
Now Barrett's
Bill out. Is going to do what he did over the last month, bounce between a Hedebo not being good and Brown not being good. Because he doesn't have a good safety.
And he's going to try to figure out which one of their guys' skill sets matches up best
right.
with the other team. And
yeah. Let me know when that's Sergio Brown, because I've yet to see what he does well on a defensive football field.
Rob says, if I hear Eldridge calling one more time talking about a deep threat and inevitably bringing up the idea of bringing Moss back, I'm going to hang myself with my headphone cord. I swear he mentions it every time he calls in.
Who is this?
Rob, about Eldridge, caller on caller crime or emailer on emailer crime. Also, I think people are putting too much faith and Taylor Price's potential. Sure, let him play, but in all honesty, I don't expect much him to do much. Well, we don't know. We just want to see him get a chance.
Yes.
Yeah, we don't.
Because all we've ever seen has been positive.
Yeah. Let's go back to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Olivier's on the line. Hey, Olivier.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Great.
Tremendous. How are you?
I am good. And you?
Good. What do you got?
Well, you know, I've been thinking about this. I've been listening to all of the shows and so forth, and I think all the criticism that Brady and Belichick have received, maybe they are justified, but I think that I still prefer to have them as my head coach and my quarterback than anyone else in the league, whether or not they they coach well or whether or not they play well. Sometimes they make mistakes and so forth. So I think we'll get through that. I think maybe what we need is different coaching staff underneath Belichick, like O'Brien. I don't know how good that guy is. It seems every time I hear him speak that he's just weak, intellectually speaking. Maybe that's the role he's supposed to play under Belichick. But to me, maybe it's underneath Belichick that we need to change and improve things. And then the other thing is, everyone is talking about a deep threat. Everyone is talking about bringing back Randy Moss and so forth, or to give Taylor Price a chance. But it's just like showing the symptom of confusion within the team, where people are looking for the Messiah to change the momentum or the mental momentum that we seem to lack within the team. So I was just wondering, I mean, what do you guys think that the introduction of that new right receiver is going to do for us? I've never heard that name before. I'm surprised they signed him.
Nothing.
But if Ocho Cinco keeps on trying his best and so forth and still under-deliver, well, it's not good enough for us, obviously. So sooner or later, that guy's probably going to have to be cut or a negotiation is supposed to happen so we can get someone else. So, you know, I understand why people say bring back Randy, because at least he's a known commodity. Whether, you know, he can play well or pseudo well, he's probably going to play much better than Ocho combined on his best day. So I just wanted to understand your perspective from that.
Well, I wouldn't expect anything from Underwood except the really cool haircut that he brings to the locker room.
Okay, well, that's a plus.
I mean, we saw him in one game, and he caught two balls and dropped two balls. I don't think he's a legitimate option for this offense. If he is, then cut Taylor Price. If you're just signing guys off the street that are better options than Taylor Price. If we see Underwood, then Price needs to go. Because I don't get it. I don't know why he's still here. Because
well,
we've heard
bring back Randy Moss then. You know, same concept, same principle.
See, I think Randy Moss wasn't good from what I saw from him last year. I felt like everybody wanted to run him out of town when he went out of town. That he was slow, you were forcing it to him, blah, blah, blah. Now he's the reason you're going to win. You're going to bring him back, and he's going to be this explosive aspect of the offense.
Randy was certainly the reason they lost to the Jets.
Right.
Yeah.
Everybody was universal there. Forcing it to the Randy Moss too much.
So now we want him back? So why?
No, well, I think
Olivier, let me ask you.
Any answer, anything would be good at this point. That's how desperate we are.
And just one quick defense of Bill O'Brien. Don't hold assistant coaches' comments in conference calls against them. Their main objective in those conference calls is to not say anything that'll get them in trouble.
Well,
That's their first primary issue. I wanted to follow up
on that.
And I apologize on Mr. O'Brien. I don't know him. It's just like a
comment. He's a nice man.
I just wanted to ask you,
Olivier, what offensively would you like to do that you don't think they're doing enough of? Like, are there things that you feel like game plan wise or
No, I don't think it's game plan wise. I think to me it's more mental than anything else. I think that you know, when I see Tom, you know, scanning the field and choosing to forget to throw the ball to someone that's open, to me it's because there's not that reflex that exists, because he's probably used to throw the ball to the same people over and over again, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, and he's not intellectually or mentally flexible enough to create a new dimension in his playing mind to be able to look at other options. And I think they need to help him to get better in that. That's kind of what I see.
See, I don't see that at all. I see his options that are open, he's going to. His options that are proven they can make plays this year, he's going to. One of the options, Deion Branch, can't get open, and the other option, he has no interest
because
he hasn't proven he can do anything.
And I don't think that he's played great. I don't think, you know, he has 10 interceptions, and I know there's been some tip passes and whatnot, but there was one against Buffalo that I think Darius hit at the line, and it bounced up in the air right to Florence.
Yep. Yep.
That's an unfortunate pick.
And last year we had a tip
like the one on Sunday with Deion Grant, who tipped it and picked it off himself. That's not an unfortunate pick.
Right.
He's thrown a lot of passes that have hit the other team first. And that's on the quarterback.
So do we think he's hurt?
I do think he's a little bit banged up, but I don't think that's the reason.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the reason why he's not played as well. I think some of it is just a lot of averages. I mean, I think last year was one of those years. When you throw four interceptions for a whole season, those things generally even out. You know, and turnovers would, you know, think about how infrequently we turned the ball over last year. We set that record with, what, 10?
Yeah, you never fumbled.
Or that we could have, and the ball fell on the field instead of being tipped and picked up by someone. And right now, every time the ball is tipped, someone picks it up. So it's the law of average. You're right.
Yeah. It's
like Eli Manning.
He was terrible
last year. He's not throwing him this
and
year.
And I don't mean that to sound like this, let's just give them a free pass. This is the law of averages. They're not playing well. They're not playing as well as they did, you know, last year. But I also think, you know, we got a little static for this last year. All three of us, we were 14-2 last year. Sorry, the Patriots were 14-2 last year, but I don't think they were a 14-2 team. And Fred, I don't think you did either. I'm being serious.
I just thought of my sack thing. There's teams that win 14 games like last year's Patriots, and then there's 14 win teams like the 2004 Patriots.
You know, how many people going into this season said they may be a better team than they were last year, but they probably won't go 14-2?
I did. Fred did.
A lot of people
said 15-1.
Right. Well,
because they had a tough schedule.
Right.
But a lot of people had that mentality. They may not have as good a record as they did last year, but they might be a better team.
Right.
And I kind of went along with that. Now,
we all thought
in retrospect, I think I'm wrong.
That was stupid retrospectively because this team
I picked them to go 11-5. And I thought that they might be a better team than they were last year at 11-5. Now, they haven't played better than they played last year. They turned the ball over a ton, and that's a tough way to win games. You heard Bill today.
Let's go to Anthony in Naples on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Anthony.
What's going on, guys?
Oh,
Anthony, you ought to be in rare form today, my friend. I'm looking forward to this.
Who you want to fire this week?
You.
Well, you know, Adalys Thomas can probably make a ton of money if he prints up some new T-shirts that said, "Let's spread the blame pie."
It's
absurd. I'm not even going to get on the coaching because, like, it actually all comes back to the coaching around. But, you know, Tom Brady was just awful. You know, he's forcing it, and I can go everywhere. But here's the thing. Here's my biggest beef. Like I'm trying to remember exactly my biggest point of anger at that game. I don't understand why they come out in the third quarter, right? They're only down 10-0. And I already got the answer. Maybe their mentality is, but let's go through this. They're down 10-0 and they act like they're losing the game 27-0. Why do they abandon the run?
Because they don't trust their defense.
Exactly.
I think it's also because they couldn't run from here to there on Sunday. They gave the running game a lot of chances, in the first, whatever, six, seven, eight. They ran the ball 24 times. But that's a lot.
Here's my thing. Here's another thing that I'm really angry about, too. It's just like, what is it about Ridley that they're like, oh, you know what? We're not even going to implement him in the game plan.
Now I'm on board with you.
Here's my biggest beef. It's like, how arrogant are you to sit there and think that this kid, just because he's a rookie, can't come into the NFL and make some plays? All right? He played in the SEC amongst 100,000 fans, and he can't handle 50,000 in Foxborough? That's ridiculous. You know what I mean? He's 16. Playing a lot of big-time games. And so what if he's a little bit cocky? You build your rookies up. You don't tear them down. You know, what is it? He apparently gets a little cocky, and maybe he's a little he just gets a little bit of confidence, and they're like, oh, we don't like that. But we got to take the game plan.
I'm with you. I think Andy is too. I think Ridley should get more touches. Three touches isn't enough for him. None in the Pittsburgh game before that. I'm with you on that. I thought they tried to run the football on Sunday, and it didn't work. They had an 18-yard run on the first snap, and really basically nothing after that.
No, but the thing is, I love Ben Jarvis. You know, he's a great little player. And you guys poo-pooed me back in the day when I actually picked him over Lawrence Maroney. And I just said I liked he was more decisive. But unfortunately, he doesn't have the speed like a Ridley does. And you know what? In that game, the way the Giants were attacking, Ben Jarvis is not going to be able to get out of the backfield. So I just don't understand why Bill O'Brien doesn't have in his playlist. You know what? We got a couple of, like, maybe toss sweeps to help just open it up so they're less aggressive. So now they have to think about that. You know, it's just, it comes back to Bill O'Brien, too. I'm sorry. You know what? He's too much. I gotta put it in Brady's hands. I gotta make him throw. And when Brady's off, that's it. The whole thing collapses.
Wait a minute. So you think he comes up with the game plan?
Who, Bill O'Brien?
Yeah.
You know what? Belichick probably checks off on it and says, oh, okay, he's part of it. Don't get me wrong.
I think Bill delivers him the game plan.
Belichick
and says, here's your calls on
these
situations, here's your calls in these situations, have fun. I think it's Bill's game plan.
It's definitely Bill's game plan. Watch a football life.
I did watch a football life.
I mean,
that's
clear right there. When Brady and Belichick are talking about Baltimore, and then Brady gets up and says, I'm going to go and talk to Billy now.
Yeah, but
they got the game plan, and then they go and tell Bill O'Brien what that is.
I think Bill O'Brien's role has probably increased a little since
He's the play caller. He's not the game planner.
I think he's more involved now.
That's the play caller. He's the one. He's running a play or a pass or a type of group of plays.
Right.
All I'm saying is that why don't they have this kid more involved? Stop being arrogant. A rookie can freaking do it.
I also don't think he makes a lot of personnel decisions. I think he's told who the rotation of backs are going to be in the situations.
It's the same old thing. Bill Belichick gets all the credit when things go well, and almost none of the blame when things don't.
No, trust me, I'm blaming Bill Belichick.
A lot of people are blaming him.
That's true. He fired him 3 weeks ago.
Fred, people are blaming his personnel decisions. They're blaming the general manager. Everybody's saying the general manager is letting down the head coach.
But
is the head coach coaching well right now?
They're blaming him for everything. They're blaming him for not getting stronger coaches around him. They're blaming him
for the personnel decisions. Yes, all personnel decisions. What are they blaming about game plans? No, it's Bill O'Brien getting the heat. They don't have a defensive coordinator getting the heat.
But I don't think Bill Belichick, to me, it seems like it's the general game plan. It's a set of plays that is going to be put in there. And I honestly think Bill O'Brien is the one that's like, okay, let's do this. I'm going to call this at this down. I'm going to do this. That's why I kind of like, I get a little focused on Bill O'Brien because I feel like when things don't work out, he panics a little bit and let's put it in Brady's hands. Instead of being stand pat and be like, you know what? We got to make this run game work. You know, it's just frustrating.
Let me ask you this, and I'll drop it here. When they, you know, opening day, when they had 622 yards of offense and scored 38 points, did you think that Bill O'Brien had a great game plan that day, or do you think that Bill Belichick did?
No. Listen, I thought Billy called the right plays, but my thing is, to me, it's okay when it works out. My problem is the adjustments. Okay, your first game plan didn't work. What's plan B? What's plan C? You know what I mean? Like, what are we going to do to counter this type of look? That's where it lacks.
See, the thing about this whole thing is fans get so frustrated
And I feel it.
It comes down to execution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really does. And, you know, game plan and, you know, changing things up and everything like that. That happens when your quarterback's getting killed and all of a sudden, okay, we got to go to max protection because, you know, it just ain't working, you know, but, you know, what we see with the Patriots, I don't think it has to do with play calling, you know, or changing things up totally, you know, in order to, because it's just not working.
Freddie, you made a comment right off the top of Anthony's call, too, that I think is very good. You know, Anthony wanted to know why 10-0 down, they were so quick to get out of the run and, you know, put it in excuse me, Brady's hands. Sorry.
He like sneezed and coughed.
Yes, it was all it's because I'm trying to suppress the cough. And you made the comment that he doesn't have the faith in the defense.
Yeah.
Well, I think you're right because he's looking at it as we're down 10. Even if we score, we're going to have to find a way to come up with stops
right.
to win because we're down 10 now.
Right.
So we can't just say, well, we have the lead. Even if they score and tie it, we'll have the ball back and
right.
we can win.
They need to lengthen the game.
Right.
Right.
So the best way to do that, you know, if you, in other words, it's late in the third quarter and you're down 10-0. Yeah, I could go on a, you know, 7-8 minute drive and score a touchdown, make it 10-7. I'm right back in the game. But
if they score again.
But if I can't stop them,
right.
I lose because right. the game's old. You know, the Giants go down and score a touchdown to get that touchdown back. Now I'm out of time. So he's thinking, well, we need to do something quick to score points. Now, and it goes against conventional wisdom.
All roads lead back to 4th and 2.
Well, 4th and 2. There's so many more 4th and 2s that people don't even talk about. And I'm dead serious. There's a 4th and 1 at midfield in San Diego last year when the Chargers stopped the Patriots and then the guy hit the upright on the field goal that would have tied the game. That's a 4th and 2 that no one talks about. It was like 4th and less than a yard, remember?
Right.
There was one this season against San Diego, 4th and less than a yard on the Patriots side of the field that he went for. And then on the second play, Mike Tolbert fumbled. They were going to go in to take the lead. Do you remember that?
Sure.
Another 4th and 2 that no one talks about because Anthony's right. When it works out, you don't, you know, it's right. all's well and good. And then, you know, the ultimate 4th and 2 is the onside kick,
right.
which was far more egregious, far larger indictment of what he thought of his defense. When all 3 timeouts plus the 2-minute warning, 2:35 left, he onside kicked.
Yep.
A play that maybe you got a 10 to 15% chance of executing and a 0% chance of executing the way it was executed.
Let's go to Dan and Harriet on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Dan.
How's it going, guys?
We're doing all right.
Boy, I got to tell you, I'm about ready to pull a Shannon Sharp. I'm calling the president.
Uh-oh.
Something's got to change. Where's Obama?
You bringing in the National Guard?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, something's killing the Patriots right now. I don't know. It's not the Broncos, but it's definitely something. But I wanted to talk
President,
about...
we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots.
Yeah, well, I wanted to just talk about a couple of things that have been bothering me, and then I actually have a proposition for Mr. Andy Hart. Yeah, I mean, I don't even know who to blame more in that game. I mean, I'm inclined not to be as mad at the offense because, like, with less than 2 minutes to go, Tom Brady put you in position to win. And then I'm just watching them drive with, like, 1:40, and I'm thinking, all right, maybe they'll pull this out.
Yeah.
And here comes Sergio Brown.
Yeah, but
couldn't
the defense argue that for 30 minutes
right.
I put you in position to get us a lead?
Why? Yes, exactly. I think they should have had a 2-score lead by then.
It should have been 2007.
Right.
They played well enough to get a big lead, so then defensively it's easier for them to play the rest of the way. They can pin their ear backs, they can try to get after Eli, make him make more mistakes, and it snowballs.
Except
you never got the lead.
And the other thing that, you know,
right.
the Patriots were up by 3. So really, they were playing defense to defend against field goal territory, which is much different defense than stopping another team from getting into the end zone. And they can't play that.
They can't play any defense, you know? So let's not try to.
Maybe the defense, right now we're up, now we can let off the dogs, but I don't know. But thing about Ocho Cinco, I mean, I'm so done with him. I mean, like, I started the year thinking, you know, anything he gives you is pretty much gravy. Well, the problem is this isn't looking that
turning out to be a very appetizing turkey. So, I mean, if you're not going to, you know, bring something else to the table, and everybody knows you'd rather be goofing off and playing Xbox anyway, then go sit at the kids' table. Because you've got nothing to contribute, and the adults have problems to discuss.
I don't know that he necessarily would rather be playing Xbox and all that. I think this is bothering him a lot. I think he's emotionally invested in this.
Yeah.
I really
do. I think it's definitely counter to
what. Don't you worry about him?
Like,
yes. He could have a breakdown.
I do. Very much do. Because he laughs it off. Even like Evelyn, whatever she is, making fun of him on Twitter, he laughs it off, but I think it leaves a mark. I think it really digs deep.
When your girlfriend is making fun of you,
that's
the job that you do.
It's not cool. Yeah. And it's all true.
You know?
And maybe they're handling the situation wrong. I mean, like, look at the Bodden getting released. I mean, yeah, maybe he was causing problems in the locker room, but I think with some of these free agent decisions, you know, maybe Bodden didn't believe that he can help you playing at the inside corner position. Maybe that plays away from his strengths. I mean, when they brought him here, he was locking down, you know, for a matter of speaking, on the outside. I mean, you don't sign Julius Peppers to two gap. You sign him to destroy the lineman and rush the passer.
That's right. You don't sign Albert Haynesworth to play nose tackle.
Indeed, yeah. But, all right, well, I'm probably going to let you guys go, but I actually wanted to ask Andy about something, because I've been looking at your Wilson Hart Power Index.
Yes.
And I was pretty intrigued by it, and I'd like to do a story on it, and I was wondering if sometime when you have some time, maybe you'd like to do like a brief interview, because I think it's pretty intriguing and it's all very different from other power rankings.
The problem with it, and I think Andy would, you know, I'm speaking for Andy, he'd love to do that, but he can't reveal the formula, or else, you know, everyone could do it. And so if you're looking for the formula, right, Andy?
True. Yeah. You're doing a fine job speaking for me.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not necessarily looking for the formula, maybe just like what sets it apart from other power rankings. And, because I noticed, like, some of these teams over the course of the week, they make either a significant rise or a significant drop in the power ranking.
Mm-hmm.
And that really interests me, and I'd like to maybe get some of your thoughts on what could be influencing that.
Sure. Send an email in, and they'll forward it to me. I'll get in touch with you. We'll do something either over email or over the phone.
All right. Sounds good.
All right.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Dan. Say hello to Harriet. All right.
I want to do the interview with Harriet.
Bobby writes in on the web radio at patriots.com. Hey guys, it's been a rough couple of weeks, but I don't think all hope is lost just yet. I have a question for you guys. We all agree the team has made some bad decisions in free agency this year and has spent a lot of money, maybe on some guys who don't have much left, like Sean Ellis. But let me ask you this. Typically, the Patriots and Jets have split their divisional game series, especially since Rex Ryan has taken over. Would it have been worth it to pay Sean Ellis the $4 million if we beat the Jets this Sunday night and sweep the series against them this year, assuming Ellis has some inside information that will help us do it? What do you think about that?
No.
Is it worth $4 million to beat the Jets an extra game?
No.
I don't think so. I mean, maybe one of our expert Excel people could actually tell you that one more victory that you wouldn't have got in New York is worth a certain amount of money. I have no idea, but I don't think so.
Well, plus, I mean, I understand what his point is. He's saying that maybe you're getting some inside information from Sean Ellis that you wouldn't have had. And I'll be willing to accept that blanket statement as being true, that hypothetical. I don't necessarily buy it, but I'll give you that. He's not doing anything to really help you win the game. And that's another indictment to me on the decision-making process. The Jets, this is a guy who was far more valuable to the Jets, right? Sean Ellis was far more valuable to New York than he was to anybody else because he had played there and he was in their system and you knew what you were getting. They knew what they had, and yet they offered him the veteran minimum. And you went out and offered him significantly more than that. So that to me was a misstep. I don't mind it. I like the aggressiveness. I liked the signing at the time. I didn't like the money, but I like the fact that they went after him and made a commitment to him. And listen, it hasn't worked out. That's unfortunate, but I don't, just because you beat the Jets twice, unless that makes you a Super Bowl champion, I mean, who cares?
Are we afraid to talk about the Jets this week?
I'm not afraid to talk about anything.
It seems to me like, you know, I know Haynesworth was big news and everything, but I don't see the same type of anticipation and excitement leading up to a Jets game that we've seen in the past. And I think a lot of people are afraid. I'm not.
Your confidence is shaken.
I'm not.
You normally lose this game anyway, and you're not playing well.
Well, I don't think that that's the way fans should be.
But that's the way they are.
Travis writes in from Tennessee.
Wait, just out of curiosity, because I always like these Fredisms. I always like to peek into the soul. How should fans be?
Like an empty barrel.
No, I think that the Patriots have just as much chance of winning this game this week as they did if you were looking at this game 2 weeks ago. You know, nothing. The Patriots haven't become that much worse in a few weeks than they were a few weeks ago. And you would say, oh, they've got a chance. They have the same chance.
Yeah, I don't really agree.
They haven't gotten worse.
I don't think they're playing as well offensively.
Yeah.
Defensively, I think they still stink. That's the other thing. The whole that they've played well in the red zone all year. What did I do now?
Go ahead.
The whole they've played well in the red zone all year. They're middle of the pack. They're literally 16th, I think,
right,
in the NFL.
Right.
They've had
That's
a couple
not well.
They've had a couple of games that they've bailed themselves out,
yes,
like Pittsburgh.
But all year is the season as a whole. You've been average, just average, not well.
But you said that you didn't feel any worse today than you did a couple of weeks ago
after two losses
about this game. I find it hard to believe, but I don't know how you could have felt great about a game at the Jets based on the last 2 years.
Well, yeah, no, but that's the thing. If you've, you know, it's not any worse than it was.
Well, it should be. Because not only
a month ago, the Jets' defense wasn't that good, and your offense was very good.
More
now your offense is not very good, and the Jets' defense is very good.
It's the same players, and I think that the release of Haynesworth...
But your offense is not performing anywhere near as well as it was.
I think the release of Haynesworth is actually addition by subtraction.
To the offense.
I think it's going to... I think it's going to... Look, if you can hold the Jets to 15, 16 points, he got a chance.
Maybe. You just got shut out in the first half against a lesser defense.
You know?
They have
a
chance.
You did.
If they can hold this team.
Right, right.
You just got shut out.
If they can hold this team to fewer points than they allowed in any other game, I agree.
You know?
That's an indictment because you would never go into a game with this offense in the last 3 weeks ago and say, if we can hold them to 15 points.
And by the way, it's not exactly true because your last two times in New York, you've scored 9 and 14. So your little game you just unfolded, you'd lose. Both. Both of them. And by the way, the Jets have only given up, I believe, 3 touchdowns in the last 3 weeks.
I'll look that up.
One on the 2 through the air, 1 on the ground or something like that?
One by air. Sorry.
So there's a lot of reasons to think you're not going to win this football game and a lot of reasons that I would not have admitted a month ago. This offense is pedestrian right now. It's average.
Do you think it's going to remain that way?
No, but do I think the Jets have a good defense? Yes.
Sure.
So I think they'll get better after they stop playing
good defense. I think it's going to remain that way against good defenses.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
And the Jets are playing very good defense right now. 59.2, Paul? Is that the opposing passer rating for the New York Jets? 59.2? Tops in the NFL?
Way off. 59.4.
Yeah, 59.4. And Tom Brady, his last two trips to New York, what's he done? He had a 50 rating and a 70 rating. There's a lot of factors, Fred. If you want to just ignore them, that's okay. But there's a lot of factors that make you not feel good about this game right now.
Last time,
absolutely.
Because even when Tom Brady's playing well, he doesn't always play well in New York against the Jets.
But I don't feel any more hesitant about this game than I did 3 weeks ago.
But how?
I don't understand how the Jets have always given the Patriots problems.
Yeah, but the Jets looked like they sucked a couple weeks ago, and now they're good.
They've always given a Patriots offense that's high-powered problems. Now the Patriots offense is sputtering.
Well,
you don't feel worse about that?
The
Patriots can win this game. There's no doubt.
And don't make this out that we're saying the Patriots have no shot.
1,000% they can win this game, but I feel worse about it than I did a month ago.
I do as well.
Yeah, see, I just can't believe that the Patriots are going to stay this pedestrian for this long.
But the Jets have a good defense. It's not just about your offense.
I think the week that it changes is like, you know, when Indy comes to
town.
Whenever
you get these interdivisional games, you know, these teams know each other so well. You know, anything can happen. It's not always by the book.
I agree.
You know,
in this series, the book is pretty close.
Anything can happen.
In New York,
totally agree
Sanchez
with that.
Has 100 rating and they win. The Patriots don't score a lot. Brady throws more interceptions than touchdowns. And in New England, Sanchez throws more interceptions than touchdowns and the Patriots win. You That's know, the book in this
yeah,
series.
It's 6, right, 21, York, and 11 yeah. the last three games, by the way, after allowing 34, 34, and 30.
So only once, by the way, have they allowed anyone to score more than your little, what was your number, 15, 14, whatever it was.
Right.
There's a lot of factors, if you look at this game, if you actually break it down, that don't favor
and
the Patriots right now.
Win. The Patriots can absolutely win this game. Wouldn't be an upset. Wouldn't be a stunner. Wouldn't be a surprise in any way, shape, or form.
He's going to say my upset of the week.
Now, I do think, now, the Patriots, when they blistered this team 45-3, that would be a stunning turn of events for me.
That was stunning.
Yes.
Who would have thought that?
That was stunning that night, and it would be stunning to me Sunday if the Patriots completely flipped the page and went from, you know, 16, 17, and whatever, to 20, 17, and 20, and then put 45 up on the Jets on the road. That would be stunning to me. But if the Patriots win this game 27-21, that's not a stunning turn of events for me.
What if they won it 19-16?
Not a stunning turn of events for me. Not a stunner, no.
Yeah, I'm not sold on the Jets' offense ever.
Right.
No, not a stunning turn of events. No.
Right, what?
The Patriots can win the game. So I don't want this. I know how these. I've seen this movie before, and I know how this is going to be portrayed. Is like Andy and I are saying the season's over. They have no chance to go to the playoffs. They can't beat the Jets. No one's saying that. Nobody is saying that. There are some concerns here. I don't like the trends. The trends are not
right.
I just don't
know how you can say you don't feel a little worse than you did a month ago.
I would have been concerned, you know, considering 3 weeks ago going into the Meadowlands.
But you're not more concerned now? I agree with you. At the Meadowlands is always a game you circle and say that's going to be a tough game. But it's tougher today than it was 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I just have faith that the team's going to rebound and you know,
like last week,
and come out fired up, not want to go three in a row, you know, and have at least that going for them.
But the Jets won't be fired up.
No, they will be, absolutely.
To keep their streak going and realizing that the Jets are looking at it and saying, we can't afford to lose the season series here.
Right.
We have to find a way to split the season series. It's a big game for them, too.
Sure.
He doesn't even believe his own crap.
Who's better?
What do you mean?
Talent-wise.
About even.
Okay.
You know, about even.
I'm not so sure about that.
Definitely.
You know who I think is skating? All the second-tier people who aren't playing well. Like Danny Woodhead, I think he's had a terrible year. But because of Ocho and all these other issues, those guys just kind of walk around in the background. I'm not sucking as bad as him, so I'm not to blame. Well, you are partially to blame. You were an impact player for this team more often than not last year. On passing plays and running plays, every single game virtually, he had impact plays. When's the last time he had an impact play?
Well, part of that might be there's just too much rotation back there, and guys don't have.
He's always been. He's a third down back.
Yeah, but he was the third down back last year. Now
he was every
he's the
week
third down
except
back
one
every
this
week
year.
But one this year.
Yeah, but
so 7 of 8 weeks.
It's not as consistent for him as it was last year. He was relied on a lot more last year than he is this.
But
year.
Because he performed better.
This year, he hasn't performed. Last week, he had just his second run of whatever it was, 12 yards or longer all year.
I don't think Danny Woodhead is the problem.
The problem?
That's not
no.
what he said.
You know, but I also don't think he was the reason you were good last year. Brady was. He was part of the reason you were good, and this year, he's part of the reason you're
it's
not.
It's just like Sean Ellis is not the problem.
But he's one of the problems.
But he hasn't played well.
Yeah, I think,
and the pass protection is not the problem, but it's been part of the equation.
Yeah, I don't think Woodhead... I don't look at, you know, the issues that are keeping the Patriots offense back. I don't put Danny Woodhead in there.
Exactly. That's my point. Except he's been one quarter of the player he was last year.
Yeah. I think
when you were good on offense,
I think he's been fine. I think that.
Well, then I don't think you're
he's
watching.
Not been fine.
Well,
he's
part of the reason
I don't think you're watching.
I mean, part of the reason he did so well last year is because you get the ball in the open field with space in front of him.
And that's exactly what he's doing this year.
And that's part because of other things that they were doing.
He took delayed handoffs, broke free, beat people with quickness, and went 22 yards.
That's exactly what he's doing
this year. He takes a delayed handoff and goes 4.
He's in spread formations, running the ball on passing situations, and he's not doing it.
Nothing's changed of how they use. The only change is his impact.
Yeah.
That's the only change.
I mean, 37 carries for 148 yards, his long of 12. He had a longer run than 12 in his first game last year.
And he had a longer run than that virtually every week. I went back and looked at the stats, Fred. He had a long reception or run every week of like 14 yards or more. This week year, he sent it like twice.
And I think he's even been...
How many times have they thrown, or how many catches?
11 catches for 97 yards. 8.8 yards per reception.
He's had no impact, Fred.
None.
I don't see him as a problem. I really don't.
He's not the
problem,
but he's not the solution.
So you don't think he was far better last year than he was this year?
He had absolutely more production last year, but I think he had more of a role last year.
So that's part of a problem.
You know, I think the problem is when Brady is throwing, you know, the limited options that he has. And I think
he's one of the options.
I'll give you a play that to me typifies what I think the difference between last year and this year Woodhead was. First down from, I think, the 15-yard line. Patriots are trailing, end of the game. They're going into the end zone, the lighthouse end, trying to take the lead. First down at the 14, 15, Andy, help me out, somewhere around there. They hand off to Woodhead. Nothing. I think he got a yard. Ended up getting knocked out of bounds on the side. That's a play that there's six, seven, eight defensive backs on the field. No one's looking run. Everybody's playing pass. Everybody's dropping in coverage. And now, I'm not saying it was his fault on that play, but there was nothing there. Last year, he gets down inside the five.
I'll give you give you another play. In Buffalo, you know, he's wide open in the flat, and Brady throws it in a spot where there's no way he can catch it.
And he tips it up in the air for a pick.
I know, but he's trying to make the catch. That's not Woodhead's fault.
I didn't say it was Woodhead's fault.
You know, it's not Woodhead's fault.
But last year, he catches the
ball. Oh, no! That ball? Again!
Come on. Nobody catches that ball.
Stop and listen for a second.
That's Brady's fault.
That particular play was Brady's fault.
Right.
Last year, he was catching that pass.
Everyone sucks but me.
But not the same pass.
But that's not Woodhead's fault. Last year, the ball was there.
Okay, you know what? So we'll just say everybody who's not producing the way they did in the past, it's not their fault. It's someone else's fault.
But you gotta look at it.
That's one play, Fred. Why, on the other 38 carries, has he not been able to get more than 4 yards?
That would have been yardage if he had caught that.
I don't know how.
I don't care about the numbers. I don't know how you've watched these games and said he's been the same guy.
I don't,
because he hasn't even been close.
I don't think he's the problem. I don't think he
you
was.
You keep
that
saying the problem,
right?
Yeah. Like, no, he's the reason they're losing. Problem.
I go down the list of what's going wrong with the Patriots.
Kevin Fox was far more
for Deion Branch in it.
He's in the list.
To me, they're the exact same guy.
Couldn't
they're not playing as well. And all of those guys that are playing 30% worse, your offense gets 30% worse.
Deion Branch is absolutely in the top 10, but I don't think Woodhead
I think Woodhead's higher than Branch, personally.
Is Devin McCourty, where's he fit in your little
scheme? Probably top three.
Wow.
How does Woodhead skate here?
I don't get it. To me, it's one guy who did this one year and this the next. This guy's in the top three. This guy's not even part of the equation. Yeah. I don't get it.
I don't either, but
their production has dropped off the face of the earth, but it's not his fault.
Yeah, I
don't understand it. There's a lot of guys that aren't playing as well as they did last year.
I know he's on your list.
And you're picking and choosing which one.
But, you know.
What is
no, this has nothing to do with the list. This has to do, watch 14 games last year, watch 8 games this year, and say, wow, that's the same guy?
That's not the same guy. Because
he's not even close.
But don't you think Woodhead was the benefit of the whole scheme last year where he was that, you know, guy that they weren't expecting to get the ball in certain situations.
So then he's not that good.
But he's the same guy this year.
Are we saying, did we ever say that he was going to Canton?
No. But we said he was a key part of the offense, an impact player on the offense.
Do you think that he's the target?
And I don't think he's as much a part of the offense as he was last year.
Same thing.
Because he hasn't been as productive.
Yeah. He has not had the impact.
Do you think the opposing teams are using him in the game plan?
Earlier in the season.
Sure.
You know, that doesn't.
It may.
But why wasn't he doing anything?
I didn't say anything about the reason. You argued he's no different. I'm arguing he hasn't had the impact.
And that's all.
If you want to reach for excuses, that's fine. But at least admit before you grab the excuse, there's something to excuse. And that's less of an impact on the offense.
But it's not because of him. It's because of the offense, is what I'm saying.
Okay. Then the egg came before the chicken, I guess.
You know?
I just don't see it. I don't really see it. Where was it?
Did you really expect Danny Woodhead to have the same year this year that he had last year?
I didn't expect the precipitous drop-off that he's had. He's gone from ridiculous impact, and yes, late in the year I decided, he's done it for 14 weeks now, he must be pretty good. I didn't think he was a one-year wonder. I thought there was a chance he was going to keep doing it. He hasn't. At all. No impact.
And in the first month of the season, this offense was far more productive than it was last year. And he didn't do much.
They didn't need him to. I mean, last year he was their option. Right. Kevin Falk
hurt. He was their option on offense.
They brought him off the street. He was Kevin Falk.
So who was he this year when
Kevin Falk was on PUP?
They had one game. They brought Kevin Falk in,
and he was more productive than in any of the games that Woodhead played.
Earlier, he had a sprained ankle. He wasn't at 100%.
The Pittsburgh game, Falk was more productive than any game that Woodhead played this year.
Are we looking at Danny Woodhead and saying, "Wow, if he played better, this team would not be in the problems that they have now.
They wouldn't have as many. They'd be better. He would help. Like if Deion Branch got open and caught more than one pass a game, that would help.
And Chad Ochocinco had picked up the offense and had not lost his physical skill. It's one of a lot of guys. And Andy's right. This guy is skating because the other guys are higher profile. No one's talking about that.
And you're proving that. You don't even have him in your top 10.
I don't. I didn't expect that much from him.
I mean, I don't know what he was a third down back last year. I don't know what he was the first four or five
games. I have
no
idea either. I thought it was the exact same role.
Now, if you want to talk about why aren't they using Stephen Ridley more and why isn't he more part of the offense, I can understand that because I think this guy has more potential
than the guy who proved to be an impact player last year.
I think you got a lot out of this guy last year, and so you just don't think you did.
Okay. I don't remember you saying this last year that he wasn't that good.
That's the first fair point that you brought to this argument. Because if you didn't think he was going to do it again, at least now you're saying he's not doing what he did last year.
Can somebody go listen to the tapes, because I want to know what he was saying last year. I don't recall him
poo-pooing. No, but we're all thrilled at what he did.
Yes, but...
Absolutely. I thought... I'm not going to lie.
But you clearly thought it was smoke and mirrors.
I thought he played over his head last year. You guys know me, how I feel about those kinds of guys.
Loose change.
But that's the first time that you're at least acknowledging that he's not playing as well as he did last year. You're saying, I didn't expect him to do that again.
Yeah, the production isn't there, but I don't think they...
No one's hanging the offense's struggles on Danny Woodhead. We're just saying that he's among a group of guys that haven't played up to their... level that they established last season.
You know, I don't see him like, you know, for example, that play that you were talking about where he got a yard. You know, was there yards for him to take that he didn't get?
I thought there were a ton of plays last year that I was like, how does he score?
He wowed me.
Five? How did he get?
I thought little of him. I thought people were stupid to buy their jersey because I said, why would you buy a jersey of a guy who's not going to be on the team in 2 years?
Ultimately, you're going to be right.
Right. And Fred apparently too, because he thought he was, you know, well beyond his skills.
I think that you got an indication of how they felt with their draft.
Right.
When they take such a high guy to replace him.
Aside from that,
was the future. They're going
to
replace him in the future.
The season, Danny Woodhead.
Yes, they didn't expect to replace him in 2011, and unfortunately, he hasn't lived up to what he did last year. Not even close.
Must be those Skechers he's using to work out with.
But no one's hanging the offense's struggles on Danny Woodhead.
You can. He's playing great.
He came around. That last comment, he came around.
I didn't
expect him to do what he did last year.
You know, of all the things that...
But I don't remember him saying that last year.
That's okay.
Of all the things that are going wrong, like, and that you see in a weekly basis, Danny Woodhead is having a terrible game.
But that's my point. That's how I started this, by saying there's so many other big-name guys that you're saying that about.
I think
he's skating with a massive drop-off in production.
I think he's been fine.
That's where we start to fight.
He hasn't been fine. He hasn't made any impact plays, Fred.
No, he hasn't, but, you know.
So that's not fine.
He made one, at least one a week last year.
He made dozens last year.
Yeah.
Do you forget how good he was?
I wish they went to him more. Maybe they should
how
give
much
him the
ball.
Why would
they
go to him more when he doesn't produce?
Yeah. No, I just think you're being...
You want everybody to get more touches. I mean, how can you do that?
I just think you're being really hard on the guy, and I don't think that...
Seven carries for 26 yards. Why would you give him an eighth?
You know, he's not a...
Is that what he had Sunday?
Ish. It was under 4 yards a carry. I know that, and it was around seven-ish. So
I mean, he's averaging 4 yards a carry for the season. To me, that's abysmal. Normally, for an every down back, that's good. 4 yards a carry, 4.5 yards a carry, that's really good.
But when you carry on third and nine every time.
For a guy who gets his carries in passing situations against sub defenses, 4 yards ain't a lot.
Are we getting any emails? Because I'd like to know what the emailers think. Somebody send in some emails. I want to know the fan perspective on, has Danny Woodhead been a disappointment this year?
I'm guessing he's a fan favorite.
They may be regretting buying his jersey. They should.
You go back to your jersey thing.
Well, I thought it was dumb at the time.
Phil says, I think the Woodhead issue is more down to other teams aware of the matchup problems he creates and are ready for him. On top of that, the offensive line has not been as good this year, particularly in setting up the run. It was always going to be difficult to replicate his success from last year, but when you combine those things, and his production was always going to dip. That's kind of the way I feel.
You didn't admit his production has dipped in his impact.
But it took 10 minutes to get there.
But you make it seem like Danny Woodhead isn't playing as well.
I don't think he is.
There's a lot of factors that had to happen last year for him to have the production he did.
So he was smoke and mirrors. He wasn't a good player last year.
I think he was the beneficiary of a lot of other things.
So how come it didn't work in the first month when a lot of other things seemed to be working?
What are you talking about?
The offense was phenomenal.
They didn't need him as much.
So how come they needed him last year when the offense was putting up big numbers?
Last year, there was a crisis. Kevin Faulk went down. They had to bring him off the street, and they were thrilled to get what they got out of him.
They got elite play. He had a year that was better than most of Faulk's years
elite,
in his career.
Elite play?
Yes.
Last year?
As a third down back?
Great.
Do you even know what he did last year? I mean, do you have the numbers over there, Paul, anywhere? Can we get those?
Oh, I might.
Because literally, his year last year compared equally or was better than what Kevin Faulk did over his career. Now, Faulk's issue is he did it for a decade. Clearly, we're seeing Danny Woodhead's not going to do it for a decade. You slept through how impactful he was last
Mark
year.
Says the entire team has been a letdown, not just Woodhead.
Nobody said just Woodhead. Nobody listens on this show, including co-hosts.
I'm going to say, I mean, his career numbers are pretty much last year, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So he has, counting this season, he has 5.1 yards a carry. Counting, you know, a subpar year this year. He has 149 carries for 759 yards. So that means he had about 600 yards rushing last year. That's a lot.
Abe says maybe the offensive line isn't blocking as well as last year for Woodhead. Woodhead is fine. They are not blocking that well for Brady.
Okay, so what's the offensive line?
He averaged 10.6 yards a reception last year, down to 8.8 this year.
And I believe he was like right at 6 or something?
Career 10.6.
No, I mean last year he was at 6.
Per carry?
I believe.
He set the single season Patriots record for average per carry.
See, if you look at a guy like Woodhead, and everybody else is doing great, and Woodhead's the one that isn't, I say, okay.
Like the first month.
Like the first month of the season.
September 2011.
But the whole offense
was good in September 2011.
Is out of sync.
Was very good in September 2011. This isn't a new thing for him.
They weren't using him the same way.
They were using the same exact way they used him last year in the first month of the season.
Let's move on. This is a terrible argument. Let's move on.
He wasn't getting the same type of opportunities he did last year.
That's incorrect.
In the same type of situation.
That's incorrect.
In the same type.
That's incorrect.
Let's all just agree to disagree.
He was an absolute surprise to everybody.
That I agree with.
Including opponents.
The water is so muddy right now, I can't see the dead body.
Including opponents.
I'm in Fall River.
He's no surprise this year.
No one is game planning for him. No one.
But they know when he's on the field, he has a chance to touch the ball.
Just say right.
Right.
You say right. We'll all say right. Right.
This isn't about Woodhead,
one,
but he says,
this one doesn't agree with
listening
me.
To the talk about the upcoming game, and I believe that the Patriots can win, but I don't think they will. The Jets are trending up while we are going the opposite direction.
Thank
as
you.
Much of an idiot as I think Plastico is, I think he presents a lot of problems for our D. Now throw in Santonio Holmes and Dustin Keller. Those three can kill you. I mean, come on. Our D got killed in the middle by that Pillsbury doughboy of a tight end for the Giants who was nowhere near the talent of Keller. If our offense was less anemic, I would be more confident. But Brady seems to have Fran Tarkenton syndrome lately. You know, happy feet. But seeing how many times he's been hit, sacked, it's kind of easy to understand. Now, having said that, I hope I'm wrong. I'll be rooting for the Pats, but I'm not very confident. Jets suck. So does Fat Foot Boy. Go Pats.
Sean Green has also been playing better of late, so don't leave that out of the guys that are trending on the up for the Jets. And is Dustin Keller healthy? I know he left that game and came back.
He
but
came
is he
back, and they're saying
healthy,
that,
healthy.
I don't know. Let's see. We should be starting to get some texts from them, right?
Sure.
Not texts, but
tweets
about practice participation.
Why are you shaking your head at me before? Because I think I know, and I was not involved with that. It was Douche Jumbo Hart.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Was taking shots at Crap Sheet.
Okay. Oh, yeah, right.
William, Douche Jumbo Hart.
William writes in.
Oh, and then he responded to you.
Yeah, but Ian sent it to me.
Okay, that's
why. I did not take a shot at Ian.
That is why I was shaking my
head. I agree wholeheartedly with the shot that Douche Jumbo Hart took. I support it fully, but it was not me.
William writes in, he's not about Danny Woodhead. He's not Brady's option to run. I don't know what that means. So get off Woody. Chad stinks. Law firm needs to pick it up. Bill's a Pats fan in San Diego.
I actually think Benny's been the exact same guy if we're going to do these comparisons year over year. He hasn't found the end zone as often, but he's the same guy. Just a guy, 4 yards a carry. He's midway through the year, and he's at like 460 yards. I mean, he's literally on pace for another, just by the hair of his chinny-chin-chin, 1,000-yard season. The one issue is the touchdowns. Did you know he never went more than 2 weeks without a touchdown last year? He's gone 3 in a row this year.
But how many did he have?
Last year, 13.
13. So he's a little bit down from that. Was he at 5?
He's at 5, so he's on pace for 10. But he was at 5 through 5 games. The pace has fallen off at this point. If he continues on that trend, he won't get to double digits. But we predicted that, you remember. 1,000-yard backs in New England coming off their first 1,000-yard double-digit touchdown season always fell off the map except Curtis Martin and somebody else.
Jim Nance?
Maybe.
Blake
says Rex Ryan's name in the movie too.
100% agree with Paul and Andy. Sorry, Freddie Woodhead was extremely dynamic last year, making game-changing plays that felt like every single game. Now he gets the ball and drops a turd. I don't agree with that.
See, I just thought that he looked a little bit more explosive last season.
A little.
That I'm not necessarily blaming him for the lack of production.
Well,
like
could he
you
be
said.
Hurt?
But he wasn't before he got hurt. He was healthy to start the year.
That was good.
He wasn't hurt.
He wasn't hurt before he got hurt.
But because we just chalk everything up. Well, he hurt his ankle.
Why are you giving any reason to insanity?
The third or fourth game of the year. He hasn't done it in any of the games.
Dave in Monterey, I think the biggest difference that we're seeing with Woody is that teams now have more tape on him and how
that might be.
And how the Patriots utilize him in each formation in down and distance. Add to the fact that the Patriots are dealing with O-line injuries and personnel changes. He is also getting the ball in obvious Woody possession situations. I'm calling his touches from my recliner based on personnel packages, formations, and down and distance. Woody is still a great player and could be useful in the absence of other backs. It's a crowded backfield. Give him a break.
Don't tell me you couldn't call his touches last year.
Right. It's just he maximized them.
Right.
Marcus,
second and 10, spread offense. Him in the backfield. Draw.
Marcus, well,
22 yards.
Marcus
22
year
yards.
Draw.
Four.
22 yards. Touchdown. Last year.
You don't remember that?
Yeah, but do you think that he was that good that he made those 22 yards happen himself?
I thought he was much more dynamic and explosive last year than he has been this year.
So is he off the program? Why isn't he as dynamic? Why isn't he as fast? Why, you know, what happened?
I don't know, Fred. All I'm saying is that he hasn't played as well as he did last year.
You do know that we
I didn't know
sponsors,
I was making it
right?
a social
yeah.
commentary.
Okay.
You haven't taken a break in 2 days.
Marcus says, I think you're all right. Danny's numbers have fell off, but he still makes impactful plays. He played very big in both of the crucial drives this season. He made big plays in the Dallas game, and he made plays in the last scoring drive in the Giants game. That alone is very impactful.
I thought he made a bad play in the last play, the last drive of the Giants game.
And
had a bad impact.
Mike from New York, with a crowded backfield, I don't think he has had as many opportunities. He had a couple of good plays this year, notably the Dallas game and last week versus the Giants. But overall, I think that some of the problems on offense have compounded each other, and that is why he hasn't been doing as well this year. I agree with that.
So do I, because his production has dropped off. They're not giving him as many chances.
Brian the Fox, absolutely right on. I am so disappointed by guys like Woodhead and McCourty and even Hernandez with his ball security. I expected these guys to be reliable, and they have fallen on their faces. For some reason, it's all Ocho Cinco's fault, even though he's been in the game for an average of, what, four plays a game? I was screaming at my TV in the Giants game because they kept giving the ball to Woodhead over Ridley and Vereen. Let's see. A lot of emails. Billy says, I want to see more Vereen and Ridley, less Benny and Woody. I want more explosive runs and catches. We need more speed and threats on the field. Let's go to Matt in Oregon on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Matt, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How's the MMA?
Hi, Matt.
I haven't been able to do as much training as I'd like to recently, but it's good.
Okay.
Good fights. There's actually free fights on Fox this weekend for the first time.
Okay.
anyway.
I didn't hear. What was it?
Woodhead, what's that?
What did you say? The MMA is on Fox this weekend?
MMA, the UFC is on Fox for the
first
time.
Oh, I'll watch that. This isn't going to tank
the
way
title match.
This won't tank the way the CBS version did it, is it? When they put Kimbo Slice on and then it never.
Yeah, no. These are actually guys who can fight.
Okay,
so it should be
hold on
good.
1 second, Matt. PFW yep. Eric reporting that Chung, Fletcher, Spikes, and Wendell not at practice.
Chung, Fletcher, Spikes, and Wendell. Okay, not surprising.
What's up with Chung?
He got hurt on that last drive. Even Paul missed it from the press box.
I did.
On a sideline play, he hurt his, I believe, right lower leg.
Oh, that's right.
Actually,
and he manned up and got off the field so they didn't have to use another timeout.
Sergio Brown ran in. Yeah, he got up, and they had already had Sergio Brown halfway on the field, and he started waving him off and getting all cranky, but then he limped the entire rest of the way. He clearly had something going on.
Yeah, but he made the smart move knowing that they would have to use a timeout if he stayed sitting down.
Right.
That was a good play.
And then he kept trying to play. He was just clearly limited. But don't worry about it. Their depth at safety will get him through it.
Sure it will. They can't get any worse, right?
That's true.
I think the deal with Woodhead, and I only just caught the tail end of that conversation, but I think the deal with Woodhead is, even last year, you know, like you guys were saying, you could call his touches a bit, but even then it was kind of like other teams didn't quite expect it to happen, or they didn't quite expect it to work with him getting the ball. Now teams have kind of figured it out, and his role really has to be that kind of surprise touch. You know, if you know it's going to him, it's a lot easier to get him.
Right. I think you're right. I think even last year when people kind of thought he was getting it, Then they were surprised. Oh, you know, he's a little quicker than I thought he was there. I'm the linebacker, and he just he left me in the dust quicker than I thought that was going to happen.
I think that's true, and I think that they're just as surprised this year when he gets it. There's just not as much explosiveness there.
I think it's about with a guy like Woodhead, it's all about getting him in the right role. You know?
Let's put it this way: if I'm an opposing defense, I'm very happy when they're handing the ball off to anybody, whether it be Woodhead or that's one less play I got to worry about Tom Brady.
Plus, we can add in the kick returns. Even though he hasn't had that many, he's been
awful.
Dismally.
Oh,
no. He is not a kick returner.
No.
Which is surprising.
I'll give you.
I thought he'd be good at that.
I agree with you, Matt.
We kind of did.
I agree with you.
Yeah, he just doesn't.
Andy and I were both wondering why they hadn't given him that chance.
He doesn't
Looks
have,
like McCourty's going to get more chances.
He doesn't have the acceleration and the decisiveness. You know, he kind of runs into the pile, which, you know, for some guys, you know, you're back there for security. You just get the yards that are there. But, you know, you're always looking for that one guy that can make the one move and just break it. Woodhead ain't that guy.
No, not this year.
You know,
I have a quick question. Sorry to interrupt you, Matt, on McCourty going back there. You think he's going back there, A, because they need a spark and they think he could be the best guy, or B, and this is the pessimist in me.
Oh, God, Andy.
He's not playing that well at corner, so it doesn't matter if he gets hurt, because if he were Darrell Revis, you'd be hesitant to put him back there. You can't lose him on defense. But now that he stinks on defense.
Yeah, but you put Wes Welker back to return punt.
Well, because you have to, and I don't think you really expect him to return it all that often.
I don't think Bill shies away from it. I think Revis might be an extreme example. Maybe if he had a corner that was that good, maybe he wouldn't do it. But he's put a lot of frontline guys in those situations. And Welker is, I think Matt's right. I think Welker's an example of
it. But I think that's out of necessity.
Did you think that about...
I think they put Edelman back there when they can.
Did you think that about Ellis Hobbs?
I didn't think he was a very good corner. So.
I don't think there was any concern.
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, I don't think there was any concern of losing him and, oh, my God, what do we do on defense
And I don't
now?
Think he was a...
And he was good at it.
He was really outstanding.
But McCourty might be. McCourty might be great at it. We may see next week. He takes
but
two
you know,
back.
You know who was a good kick returner? He couldn't do anything else. It's Maroney.
Yeah, well
Maroney led the league.
At first he was, and then he stopped being that guy.
And that's when you started yelling at him.
Right.
Now he's dancing on kickoffs. Oh, my God.
Right. Maroney was a good kick
That's
returner.
When I lost.
He wasn't Hobbs. He wasn't as good as Hobbs, but he was a good kick returner.
All right, Matt. Thanks for the call.
One more thing.
Yeah.
Kevin knows that there's a machine back there that plays drop-ins, right?
Yeah. You wouldn't know it by the show,
well,
huh?
He's busy on Google Plus right now and Twitter.
Is this Matt from Oregon?
He's on Facebook,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does he know that we can't hear Facebook?
No, he's just an idiot, so leave him alone.
Matt from Oregon giving you a shout out, my friend.
All right, Matt.
Just got
good.
Here.
Keep him on his toes.
Hey, Matt.
Okay.
Go pee on an elk.
Let's go quickly to Lydia in Maryland because she says, good luck with this one. I don't know what that means. Lydia, what do you got for us?
I don't think we were supposed to read
Hi, guys. That. How are you guys doing?
Hey, Lydia. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. My question to you is, do you think we made a mistake by drafting two running backs instead of drafting a defensive player or a wide receiver?
Yes. I was all for drafting a pass rusher, not necessarily a defensive player. They drafted him and Razai Dowling, but yes. I don't know why you needed two running backs all of a sudden.
It was a little curious that they drafted these guys back-to-back, but I think they also thought, you get to that word that everyone hates, value. They couldn't pass up on.
But isn't running back a position where you can get it later? Like if you found one, you liked, well, I guess they took Vereen first. So you liked Vereen.
Right.
You take him. People find, you know, James Starks goes in the sixth round. All of a sudden he's running in. You can find running backs for different reasons.
But here's the thing. You know, we forget, you know, with Vereen, he would be Danny Woodhead, right? Wouldn't he be an alternative to Danny Woodhead?
Yeah.
What? You know,
a little different, but next year.
And a lot faster.
Next year.
Right?
Probably. Probably not as quick, but probably faster.
You know?
I think Danny Woodhead's pretty quick.
Okay.
But he is a rich man's Danny Woodhead.
Yeah. I think they were looking down the road at replacing that spot.
I think Lydia's point is down the road on defense is right in front of us.
I'm really conflicted with those two. I would have gone defense, but I really liked both of those guys a lot, and I really liked both picks. I just don't think you needed them both.
You can like a lot of people, but you only have certain picks, and you need to assess the needs of your team. Right, Lydia?
Yeah, I agree. And I feel that, you know, it's going to be tougher and tougher as the season progresses, and if we keep making mistakes in the defense, we're not going to go further than, you know, in the regular season.
I agree, Lydia.
They've got to do something with that defense.
Wait. Before you go, Lydia, where are you from originally?
I'm from India.
Oh, nice.
When did... I've been following football since 2 years now, and you know it's I love Tom Brady and Belichick, of course. So it's a very good team. So I'm hoping they win the Super Bowl, but I think we have a long way to go.
I hear you, sister.
8 games and plus the playoffs.
Thanks for joining
us,
Lydia.
Lydia.
That's not what she was talking about, Fred.
What?
She was talking about a long way to go, skill wise.
Right.
I know.
I liked Lydia.
I did too.
She sounded like a woman who's always smiling.
What's the
matter?
What's the matter?
Why are you sighing? Didn't she sound like a happy woman?
Yeah.
I'm just glad that she gave her name so Fred allowed her to talk on the show.
Eric's
here. Why
do
you sigh? She's happy.
Eric's here. How you doing?
Good. What's up, Freddie?
Nothing much.
What's up, Fred? It's badass Eric today.
Speaking of Debbie Downer.
Yeah.
What's the matter, Eric?
There's a lot going on at practice today.
Well, and you're
I mean,
upset
a lot of transactions.
Okay, so let's get to them.
It's the missing guys that really are going to bother you. Patrick Chung?
No.
Yeah.
We read your tweet.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Then what do you need me for?
Oh, so that's it?
Believe me, I ask that every day.
Chung, Fletcher, Spikes, and Ryan Wendell,
right,
who was playing the role of Taylor Price this week. They praise him in a conference call. And
but Price is in there.
Price was there.
But he was in there all last week. He got hurt in the walkthrough.
He got hurt in the walkthrough.
It's amazing. Exactly. It's amazing that Price was able to bounce back from that injury so quickly.
Bill said he was going to. Bill said it. He said he'll probably be out there again practicing last week. It just tightened up. I mean, he laid the foundation in that comment that he wasn't on the injury report last week.
Yeah.
He's on it for the game, but he won't be on it again next week because he'll be back out there practicing. Ridiculous.
Yeah. Felt like training camp out there, too.
Hot.
Hot.
I mean, it was hot.
Sun was blaring.
Was it raining?
Blaring.
Hey, what's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know, but suddenly no one can speak on this show.
Blazing?
Yeah, I guess. Maybe that's not quite what I was looking
for. Good news
for,
is they've lightened your load a little. You don't have to look for black jerseys on Wednesdays.
Yeah. I don't think that's what they're looking for, Andy. I don't think that's what they're looking for you to say either.
Do you think Woodhead's been less of an impact player this year?
Yeah, I think he's had less of a role. And I think I don't think they've gone to him as frequently as they did last year.
That's what I'm saying.
I agree.
Why
do you think that is?
It's actually,
maybe they feel they have better options elsewhere.
Well, we know that's not true because they're not moving the ball well. So wouldn't you say it's because his production has been lacking? Averaging less than 4 yards a carry?
Yeah, he hasn't been picking up 9 to 10 yard chunks.
2 yards
like he
less
was
a carry,
last year.
two yards less a reception.
No impact plays.
They, you know, I think that they're being too hard on Woodhead.
I don't think we were being hard on him at all.
I agree with you, Eric. I don't think they've gone to him. I think he was the beneficiary of situations last year.
And he hasn't benefited from them this year.
I don't think the situation, they haven't used him in the same situations all the time. And I don't,
that's the one that we have to stop.
I don't look at Danny Woodhead and say, oh my God, he's dropped off. Look, he's not as fast or he's not as quick or
he's not as productive. So you don't analyze it then if you don't look at it that way because he has not been as productive.
Well, I mean, he had the injury earlier, but that slowed him down for a while.
I know. He got that injury in week 4 and that really prevented him from doing anything in weeks 1 and 2 and 3.
Unbelievable.
But that's all we're trying to say.
We can do the same thing to you and just shake our head at you and go, unbelievable.
You make it sound like we're trying to say that the offense is struggling right now the last 3 weeks because of Danny Woodhead.
Yeah,
and which is the exact opposite of what I led with. This fight, Eric, started when I said, you know who are skating are some of these second-tier guys who aren't as productive this year. Because there's so much Ocho Cinco and Haynesworth and McCourty, guys like Woodhead, who have not had the same impact they had a year ago,
are
kind of just get forgotten about
the wayside
because they're not as bad as the other guys. The drop-off isn't as dramatic, but it's still a drop-off. The impact is not there for Danny Woodhead.
Right, and also the fact that those guys that you mentioned are of such a higher – there were higher expectations those guys
that's
coming
his
in.
Point.
Right. So, but you can't forget the
call them second-tier
guys that aren't – you know, and those all contribute to not being as good. You know, little fall-offs on every guy makes the whole group not as good.
Yeah, and there's no doubt his production has gone down, but the question is why, and I don't think it's Danny Woodhead's fault.
Of course not.
You know?
Is it Devin McCourty's fault that his production dropped?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just trying to get it straight, that's all.
I'm
just trying to figure out when the player is responsible for his play.
Because one is going to be here long term and one isn't.
One is
Tom
obvious.
Brady responsible for his drop off?
Yes.
Okay. Again, I'm just trying to figure out when the player is responsible for his play and when it's not.
I don't see a lot of plays where you look at it and go, oh man, he should have had more yards than he got on that play. Do you?
Woodhead?
With Woodhead?
You talking about?
Yeah. Absolutely.
You do? Okay, well. Maybe you can point them out to me someday.
Okay, I'll try to do that.
So wait, Paul, you're saying
wow,
that,
the claws are out, ladies.
You're saying that Woodhead has had chances to get more yardage, and it's been his fault that he hasn't.
In some cases, absolutely. His production has dropped off
those.
The table.
Again, we're not arguing. You know the
numbers. You are. Eric's not. No. You are.
We're not arguing that the numbers aren't as good as last year. We're trying to get at why.
Because he's not playing as well. And what's your reasoning, Fred?
I just don't think the situations which they're giving him the ball, the number of times they're giving it to him.
Beneficial for him and what he can do.
Really?
I don't see plays where Danny Woodhead screwed up on that play.
Okay, let me just say this. Do you think there's a difference between the way they've used him this year as opposed to last year?
A little bit.
Okay.
Not as often. Yeah.
They also
I didn't say often. I didn't say frequency.
They also used
I said the different ways they've used him last year as opposed to this year. Spread formations, inside handoffs on draws, direct snaps, and as a receiver out of the back.
And he hasn't done terrible in any of those.
I didn't say he did terrible. I said he's done.
He's Danny Woodhead.
He's been less productive.
I just don't remember when you said he sucked last year.
It's a whole different guy.
Who said he sucked?
He's not good this year. As far as a third down back goes, he's not good right now.
I can't recall you saying he's Danny Woodhead, for God's sakes, last year.
We were thrilled last year.
Of course we were.
We can't believe this.
So why on earth would we think that he might be able to do it again?
So you had no hope for him this year. No expectations that he'd be as good.
I think he'd be serviceable. But they have all these other... I figured Ridley would be part
of it. But that's not an issue. Those guys aren't playing. Right. They're not doing anything to him. He's playing and he's not producing.
But you figured that, but they haven't been. Vereen hasn't been on the field yet.
I know.
And Ridley...
But you asked me what I thought going into the season.
Right.
But what has played out is
Danny Woodhead, when healthy, right.
when
healthy, has been on the field as your third down back.
Well, not all the time.
Yes, he has. All the time.
Oakland, he hardly played.
He got hurt in Oakland.
You know? So not all the time.
When healthy, I said.
It's unbelievable.
It really is kind of funny.
Woodhead got hurt in the fourth quarter against Oakland. So.
Yes.
And he hardly played that game.
Okay. I'm just going to repeat Andy's question.
Let's just go with when healthy.
He got hurt in the fourth quarter.
He's been used in the same manner this season as he was last, is not maximizing his opportunities this season as he did last. I'm not saying let's chop off his legs and throw him to the wolves. It's all his fault. I'm simply saying his production dropped. I'm glad that other guys are responsible for their production and he's not.
For one thing, I don't think they're doing with him as much this year as they did last year was giving him inside handoffs where he seemed to pick up and a lot of yardage and find holes last year. I don't think I've seen him do as much of that this year.
I'm going to go back and look. I really am.
I will say this.
I'm going to look at every play that
he's not getting as many carries because he's not performing as well. But the manner in which he's getting the carries is the same as last year. They're asking him, as I said.
I don't think I mapped out perfectly.
I see a lot more red zone
carries for him than he got last year, and he's not a red zone runner. He's not a between the tackle.
Why was he successful in him last year then?
Not all the time.
He was outstanding in that
role
last year.
He was more open field type of guy.
I don't understand.
Wait, so all his touchdowns were like 40-yard touchdowns?
And he had like six, right?
This year he has zero.
He has none this year.
Yeah. Seto.
He had like six, I think.
Seto.
I'll look it up again. I think he had six rushing touchdowns and like three receiving touchdowns last year. Those are coming from the 50-yard line? Aren't in the red zone?
How many times have they thrown the ball to him in the red zone?
I have no idea.
Okay, find out before you criticize him.
Why? Why does that have to be the basis of my criticism? Why can't his numbers be the basis of my criticism?
Tell us, because you know the answer, because you're using that as your argument.
He's not getting the opportunities.
But they're going
to Gronkowski. They're going to Welker. They're going to Hernandez.
Now I'm going with Fred. I'm going to agree to stop this, because you just said in the last 35 seconds, last year they were more in the open field. They weren't asking him to do anything in the red zone. The next sentence was, how many passes are thrown in the red zone? They're not giving him the opportunities in the red zone this year because of Hernandez and Gronkowski. So you just said two totally different things.
No.
I'll agree to stop.
No. Go ahead. Look at it, Paul. Read the numbers.
No touchdowns.
I didn't
have to look it up. No touchdowns. He has none. Zero.
No. Last year, what were the type of touchdowns that he scored last year?
How can I look that up? This is this year's numbers. I don't have last year's.
Where's our media guide? We got the media guide in here?
I have the media guide.
Get it out. I'll read the media guide. You're doing your update, I know, so I'll yell back and forth.
Oh, by the way, do you think he had any rushing touchdowns last year?
Like three.
Okay, well, here's another PR-ism, because it lists his career with zero. So that's wrong.
Let me get to the Woodhead page in the media
I know
guide.
For a fact he had a touchdown in his very first game against Buffalo.
Right.
I remember it vividly. And he did that thing when he puts his arms behind him.
Right.
Kind of like Clay Matthews.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, wow, this guy's pretty fast.
Mm-hmm. Don't yell at me.
Not so much this year.
What are you going for the Woodhead bio over there?
Woodhead's bio last year. What do you want to know, Fred?
What was
the nature of his touchdowns?
He had five rushing touchdowns, one receiving touchdown.
Six touchdowns. Not a bad memory, Paul. Mm.
He had
zero this year.
His receiving touchdown was an 11-yard touchdown, so that was indeed in the red zone.
Right.
Against the Buffalo Bills, he had a 22-yard touchdown.
Outside of the red zone.
Against the Indianapolis.
Stop it, embarrassing yourself.
Indianapolis Colts, he had a 36-yard touchdown.
That's outside the red zone.
Against the Buffalo Bills, again, he had a 29-yard touchdown.
Outside the red zone.
So, wait, where are those this year?
So, three out of six already.
Wait a minute. I argued he doesn't have any impact plays, and he had 30-yard touchdowns.
The 22-yard line doesn't go down as a red zone?
It's not.
Okay.
When did red zone become relevant here? Impact plays can happen anywhere between the zero and the 100-yard line.
He's not the kind of guy that you hand off.
Yes.
Expect him to get the yards.
I'll start yelling at you, too.
Are they giving him the ball on the goal line this year?
Not all the time.
Never. Yeah. Never given the ball in
no,
the goal
Ben
line.
Jarvis, Green Ellis is
exactly.
That guy.
So it's no change from last year to this year. None. Zero. Mm-hmm.
What are you trying to? I'm going back and I'm gonna write down all the opportunities he's got this year.
He just proved you wrong.
He had more opportunities last year.
He just proved you wrong.
What are you talking about?
He didn't get him in the red zone last year.
Oh my God.
You said he got him in the red zone last year, and he didn't this year.
He's not doing it in the red zone.
I said this year he's not doing it anywhere.
Yeah, you said in the red zone he's not doing it.
Fred, he's not getting in the end zone. Is all I said. He has zero touchdowns. Yeah. I don't care where they're from.
He's not the target to get in the. I'm telling you.
Well, why did he get six touchdowns last year? If he's not a guy that you want to get in the end zone?
Because there were a lot of things
by accident. Six times by accident.
There were a lot of things that other teams were looking at.
Do you have his game by game?
And he was the beneficiary.
Whatever you want, bring it.
Chicago Bears.
He was the beneficiary of all those
things. Chicago Bears. 7 carries, 21 yards, and a touchdown. Not a good game.
Where was the touchdown from?
It was less than 5 yards.
Okay.
Because...
Oh, he got one. Okay.
No. You're saying he didn't get any opportunities last year, and they're using them differently this year.
It's unbelievable.
No, you're unbelievable because you just can't admit...
You're unbelievable.
You just can't admit that he played better last year than he did this year. If you admitted that, we would have stopped this 45 minutes ago.
His production was way up last year.
That's all Andy and I were saying.
But all I'm saying, it's not his fault that it's down.
And
this
all
year.
I want to know is when the player is responsible for his play.
I just want to. Can I read a couple things here? Ranked fourth in the NFL, with an average of 7.1 yards from scrimmage per touch. Doesn't that sound good? Does that not sound good?
Again, are we saying that he didn't have a great year last year? No, who's arguing
We're
that?
Saying he's not
all
as productive
he's
this
not
year.
Not playing as well this year. That's all I said.
And you made every excuse outside of...
And I'm saying...
It's not his fault.
And I'm saying it's not
it's
his
like Robin
fault.
Williams and Goodwill Hunting.
How many carries
Hunting?
Does he have
fault?
This year? How many carries does he have, Paul?
It's not your fault.
Okay,
Eric.
Stop. How many carries does he have?
It's not your fault. I don't know.
All these not opportunities. I don't know why you closed the thing. We've had to argue it six times and you closed it.
Because he's trying to close the book on the argument.
I am trying to actually.
I'm not. I do not let idiocy win.
For one time in my life, I'm trying to move on from an argument. 37.
37 carries in how many games?
7, because he missed one, right?
So 5 point change per game, right?
Oh, carries, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
36 carries in 7 games?
37.
And he missed some time in 1 game. So less than 7.
He missed parts of 2 games, right? Because he missed one altogether.
And so 97 in 14 games is what? 7 carries a game? So he's in the same ballpark, right?
But you're missing the point. It's not his fault.
It's not.
You're missing the whole point.
How is it not?
That's why I want to get out of the argument, because you can't argue with... It's not his fault. How do you argue with
that? Danny Woodhead hasn't changed since last year. The Patriots' offense...
Right.
It's been better.
So where's the 36-yard touchdown? Where's the 22-yard touchdown? Where's the 26-yard touchdown? Where are those if he hasn't changed?
Where's the one where he had an opportunity, missed it?
How do you tell me when he missed an opportunity?
Tell me where.
No, that's stupid. A handoff up the middle. How do you know?
Tell me where.
How many times did he make a move last year?
Tell me where you saw him.
That's the dumbest argument ever.
Tell me where you saw him.
You can't tell what's available on a play until a guy makes.
Tell me where.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
I want you to go game by game.
No, that's ridiculous.
I want you to go.
If we're going
to
argue that, then we shouldn't even argue.
I want you to go game by game.
How many times did Barry Sanders have a 70-yard run available? Oh, I don't know. Every time he touched the ball.
Now we're comparing him to Barry Sanders.
When someone's talking, you have to shut up.
This is what you're doing.
How can you tell?
Show me the plays where he's not maximizing his... Show me the play Lawrence Maroney didn't maximize his yard.
A lot.
Yeah, show me one.
Oh, my God.
Show me one.
How many
times?
Dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Show me one.
How many times?
I want you to show me one.
Paul, how many times in the...
I want you to show me one.
Are you going
to
let me talk?
If you're, are you going
to
spew
I'm
idiocy?
I'm trying to show you how
because
ridiculous
Fred, no one
arguing
knows what's available
is.
On a play.
How many times in the press box did I say, oh, my God, there was a hole that he missed?
You can Lawrence say that every Cerrone. Play, and it's always stupid.
How many times did I say that?
I don't know.
You made fun of me for saying it.
I don't know. I don't know.
You're not being honest, because you know
I,
you
I don't how many times?
You
okay,
would make
11.
Fun of me.
11.
You would make fun of me for saying it all the time.
11 is my guess.
Did I not?
Andy, I want you to go game by game with Maroney and the media guy.
He's
tell me how many games he averaged.
He's getting red. He's going
to
swear.
Ask me how
he
many games.
Well,
I want you to answer
red.
Me. How many games last year?
Don't look to me for help, Fred. That was the most ridiculous thing you ever said.
Ask me how.
Tell me how many yards were available
Paul,
on the play.
Did you not make
11,
fun of me
I said.
Saying.
11. No. You told me 11 times.
Honestly.
I don't know what you want me to say. 11 is my answer.
Yes or no?
Yes. 11 times.
Okay. Forget about the sarcasm.
I don't know how many times you said to me.
I'm not asking how many times.
All I want to know is when a player is responsible for his play.
I'm not asking how many times.
Arbiter of when the guy's responsible
right.
for his drop off.
I'm not asking
off.
How many times.
How did we
did
get
you
into
or did you not? Did you or did you not make
how
fun of
me anyway?
For yelling at Lawrence Maroney for skating. Not maximizing run?
On certain plays, yes, I did.
Okay.
Because every single
how
play
many
he
times,
got the ball, you expected him to go
how,
for a touchdown.
How many times? Oh, yeah, okay.
You did.
Okay. How many times this
Liar.
Year did I make fun of or complain about Danny Woodhead
you
doing the same thing?
You complained quite often on running plays this year where he should have cut out. You should have cut in.
Right.
I'm going to go with 11 again.
Right. Okay. All right. See, you're
I want
not
you
being
to answer.
Honest.
Are you not being honest? You don't complain on almost every running play that the guy didn't make the right cut?
No, not this year.
Oh, you're such
not
a liar.
Not this year.
Yes.
Not this year.
He called him a liar.
What? Can you do me a favor,
I
Andy? I want you to tell me
name
how many
it.
Games he averaged fewer than 4 yards a carry last year, individual games.
Individual games. 1, 2, 3, 4.
He's already done it 5 times this year. Less than 4 yards a carry. 3.0, 3.5, 1.8, 0.0, 3.7. 5 times already this year he's done it more
than
he did last
year. Oh, the 0.01, how many carries did
None.
He have?
None. He averaged zero.
Okay, so, I mean, how can he have any yards per carry if he doesn't get the ball?
That's counting last year, too, Fred.
You know?
0.0 counts one
so
last year,
he had five,
too.
He has 4 this year.
Five.
Five, okay.
Out of 7 games.
And one of the games he didn't even get the ball.
Out of 7, why didn't he get the ball? You're missing the whole point.
Oh, my God.
What do you think they just say? We have this unbelievable weapon on the sideline.
But they don't.
But we're not going to use it.
He's not an unbelievable
we
weapon.
Don't that's my point. He hasn't played as well
I
as
know,
he did last year.
Glad you're here.
Greatest ever, John. Greatest ever. The ship is sinking and we're arguing about a backup third down running back.
I want to restate. For the record, that I tried to get past this, and you made me open the stats
I know,
again.
But it really is fun when you call him a liar. You're a liar!
I didn't say you're a liar.
If I have a different opinion, I lie.
No, well, because you, you can't possibly look at me and say that you don't often say on a running play, oh,
not
why didn't he cut inside?
Not this year.
Really?
Not really. Really? Right.
I can't,
really?
I can't wait.
Really?
I can't wait till the next time you do it because I can stick it so far up you know
yeah,
why.
Oh! See, Paul gets mad because
he's
wrong.
I thought he was going to do it there, Andy.
I don't get mad when I'm wrong.
When did I do it this year?
Fred, you sigh after every other play.
Well, not
the fact that you could possibly say that you're not doing it.
Paul,
I thought you were going to be suicidal.
When did I complain
against Dallas? I thought you were going to start crying in the third quarter.
Not because
you were so frustrated.
We're talking specifically about.
I'm talking specifically this year at times when we were worried about
Paul.
You. Fred was like, Andy was like,
can
he even
shut up for
can he even
second?
Hear out of his ear?
My God.
How does it feel,
Paul?
Fred? How does it feel?
Paul.
I want to know, how does it feel
Paul.
When someone gets ridiculous on you?
Paul.
Now Paul's
okay, so you admit you're being ridiculous.
I'm Space doing it on
red.
Purpose.
Okay. So,
I'm doing it because
so
you said, you
like
said in one sentence,
so
he got all
so
red
ridiculous.
Zone, all red zone last year,
oh my God.
No red zone this year, in one sentence.
Paul, when have I this year complained about a running play not getting what's supposed to
be? Dallas game.
The Dallas.
I'm
game.
Giving you a specific.
And
time.
Who was running the ball?
Ben Jarvis Green Ellis on one particular play.
Okay. So, okay. Do you remember me doing it with Danny Woodhead this year?
Specifically, no.
Okay. Thank you.
But you do Case it all the time.
Case is closed. I do it all the time, but
I
can't remember me doing it.
I am now
going to.
I am now
you,
going
to. You don't remember
no.
one time me doing it, but I do it all the time.
No. I don't remember specifically.
Case closed.
I don't remember specifically who the ball carrier
John,
was. And now, from
John,
now on, I'm going to record.
Okay.
The play.
All right. Good.
So when you do
good.
This to me again next week, I'll
well,
have some.
Between eating cookies, I'll
have
you can
some,
put the recorder on.
I'll have
on.
Some. Yeah. That's good. That's good. This is the guy who comes up with a popcorn, a pretzel, and a hot dog every day at half.
I don't eat pretzels.
That's a lot.
John.
He just called you a liar
yes,
again.
It's funny because he's.
Not
bad.
Only that, but he comes back, he takes care of himself and no one else.
John.
Yes, sir.
Person.
Wow. Oh, this all, is this, really... all this pent up, you know.
Oh, Maya's pent up? Where did the cookie comment come from? Mine's pent up hostility.
Paul, there's five veins coming out of your head.
Eric goes down and gets cookies for Andy, Eric, and I every game. We all eat them. Who'd you say is the fat guy who eats the cookies at the halftime?
I don't eat any.
No, but Andy, Eric, and I all eat them at halftime. Right.
John,
what'd you say?
Getting back to football.
Yes.
We all agree that Danny Woodhead's production is not what it was last year.
Except for Fred.
Okay.
Except for Fred.
Okay. I'm gonna, you know, we all agree.
He's going to tell a different story now.
That his production is down from last year. Okay?
Yeah.
My point is, it's not Woodhead's fault. The situations are different. He caught a lot of teams by surprise last year. A lot of factors. The offense overall, mm-hmm. obviously, is sputtering right now. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, way down on the list is Danny Woodhead. Okay? And I'm not saying that these guys think he's the problem. I'm not saying that. But I don't think that this is a different Danny Woodhead from last year. The production's down, but it's not because Danny Woodhead's ability has fallen off the cliff. I just think it's a matter of circumstance and situation and scheme and teams, you know, having a little bit of a lot of factors that have contributed to his lack of production. The least of which is this guy is not, you know, is just not as good as he was last year. What do you think?
I think you're saying that he's not as good as he was is sort of a little bit of a misnomer. I mean, he's not as good as he was because the opportunity hasn't presented himself. He's also spent some time hurt this year. So I think you have to couple in, you know, several different factors. I don't know that he's been given the opportunity that he was given last year, to be quite honest.
That's what I said.
But
and I agree these guys jumped down my throat.
I agree with you, but the only question I asked you as a follow-up was, why do you think that is?
And you think it's because he's not as good as last
because
year.
Because his production has dropped off.
But his production has dropped off.
Here's the
his
thing.
Production has dropped off because, frankly, they've got two rookies that they want to look at first that they think the future
that
is
they
their
haven't,
first.
That they haven't looked at.
And I agree. They haven't done that.
So that's not why his production's dropped off then.
No, but you asked about Danny Woodhead.
No, and but Danny Woodhead's Shane production Vereen doesn't have anything to do with Danny Woodhead because he hasn't played a snap on offense. So don't say that.
Shane Vereen hasn't. No,
that's what I just said.
Yeah.
So don't say that you have rookie running backs and that's why Danny Woodhead's if Danny Woodhead was averaging 5.8 a carry but had half as many carries as last year, I would say, Fred, that's why his production is down. He's not getting as many opportunities. He's getting as many opportunities. He's not maximizing them as he was last year. He's on pace for a similar amount of carries.
Yeah, I just think the situations are different. Again, I look at Danny Woodhead, and I don't see a different guy than I saw last year.
But that's fine. We look at it a little bit
but
differently.
We look at Tom Brady and was like, wow, he's off.
See, I look at Woodhead and say he's not squirting through the holes that he did last year.
And we look at Devin McCourty and say, this is not the same guy we saw last year. You know, I don't do that with Woodhead.
But here's the thing, Freddie.
That's
why?
What I'm saying.
Why?
Fred, because I don't think he is.
No,
he's,
but that's
the exact same play. He's taking it off guard, and instead of squirting and bouncing outside and going 22 yards for a touchdown, he goes down at four.
When you asked me.
The guy hasn't fallen on his face this year.
I did.
He has squirted through holes.
But we do admit that we didn't say that, right? Andy and I didn't say he's fallen on his face.
No,
right?
No.
You do admit
he's lacked impact at all.
I
thought last year he showed up every single game with impact. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
The only thing I would say, Fred, is there were you asked the specific question. When were there plays that you said I thought Woodhead should have gotten more? And I don't know if I have an example of that, but there were a million plays last year where I didn't think there was anything there. And Woodhead got something out of it. I haven't seen that this year.
Yeah, I
haven't seen him hide behind his lineman the way he seemed to do so effectively last year.
Honestly, there's no reason for me to defend Danny Woodhead. If I really thought that he was that worse a player, I would say, well, you know, he's just not the same guy. Why would I?
The only thing
spend
I disagree,
the effort to defend
the only thing
him
I disagree with
so.
Is the reasons. I
you
think
you can think it. I just think the numbers don't back it up.
Look again. No one's arguing the production.
But you
down.
Think it's circumstantial. He hasn't been given the opportunities.
Yes.
And I think.
But he has.
But
he had
has.
All these. He's had games with seven carries. Last year, when he got seven carries, there was usually a touchdown and one 20-yard run involved.
Yeah.
This year, there's not.
That's the only thing we disagree on. Now that we've, you know, stopped making fun of each other for being
fat. Go get a cookie.
go get a hot dog.
Could it be his production's down because the offensive line has been inconsistent? Could that have something to do with it?
Well, I think that's part of it.
That certainly could be
part
of it.
All of these things are certainly plausible factors, but for some reason, we say that Brady's plays down because Brady hasn't played as well. McCourty's plays down because McCourty hasn't played as well. Woodhead's plays down because of all these other factors. I don't understand that. Woodhead hasn't played as well as he did last year.
I see your point.
That's the only thing I don't get.
I know, but I think that
he'll never make it on the show. You don't ever say that.
Danny,
that's a faux pas of the highest magnitude.
Danny Woodhead is a certain level of player. He benefits when Tom Brady plays well.
True.
He ben, you know.
That's a great argument.
And if those guys aren't playing well, Danny Woodhead's lost.
I don't want to revisit this. The first month of the season, Tom Brady was putting up numbers like the NFL had never
seen. I would go back to September and wonder why he only had really, Woodhead's to me had one good game, and that was the first game. I thought he was the Woodhead that we remember in the first game.
Yeah, I mean, do you really remember a game going back and saying, wow, Danny Woodhead is not playing well today?
Yeah, there's about six of them that he's played this year.
Yeah, I just
really,
yes. I just don't see the impact.
Yeah. He surprised me with the.
I agree with that. I don't see the impact.
But he had the
either.
Impact last year, so
but
he's
he
not
did.
Playing as well.
Yeah,
it's very simple.
But why?
Because he's not
playing
as well.
As well.
Yeah,
I give running backs credit when they gain yards. I say they did something on that play to gain yards. Either they hit the hole exactly where it was drawn up, or there was no hole there and they made the yards. But either way, they get credit.
When Ben
I gave him that credit last year, so I have to hold him accountable for not getting those yards this year.
When Ben Jarvis, really think that he, you know, that type of play he had last year, he could do every year. That's Danny Woodhead.
Kevin Faulk does.
I'm talking about Danny Woodhead.
I only had last year to go on, and for 14 weeks he did it.
Basically, what you're saying is last year was a fluke.
I think he was the benefit of a lot of things last year. I really do.
Now, but I'll give you an example. Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis, I think, had 5 carries for 9 yards against Pittsburgh.
Okay.
I think it was something like 5 for 9. Now, was that his fault?
Probably not.
But it's still, he had a bad game. He didn't get anything. He didn't do anything to get any yard. He didn't do anything out of the ordinary.
If he did that game after game, then you have to start saying, well, you know.
But what I'm saying is that particular game, he did not make much of an impact. He had some chances to do things, didn't do it. Now, Pittsburgh's a good defense. All those things are true. I wouldn't say, let's not play Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis because he only had 5 carries for 9 yards.
You just have to be consistent. Either you give him credit for last year. You give him credit that he was good, and he was part of the reason he was good.
It sounds like Fred's really not giving him a lot of credit for last year.
He rode the offensive line in the offense last year.
Which is okay, because I kind of agree with that.
Look, I'm saying he was the benefit of a lot of things.
I agree with that.
I think everybody was thrilled of the production he had
last year. Yes, they bought his jerseys. It was ridiculous.
And nobody expected it, and he became this, you know, great fan favorite, which is great.
But you didn't give him credit for it. And that's not a criticism. It's just, you think it was situational.
Did I ever think that he was as good as Kevin Faulk? No.
Okay. I didn't either because.
He didn't. Fred didn't. I can't make fun of him for that one.
I don't remember him saying that last year.
But he didn't say he was Kevin Faulk.
When I was mocking people for buying the jersey of a guy who wasn't going to be here in 2 years, I don't remember you siding with me.
Well, it's revenue. We like that.
What did you just almost swallow?
He almost dropped his phone.
Ooh, careful with that. I got experience in that area.
All right, John.
We got them all riled up for you, John.
Yeah, you got calls lined up.
I think we got
Fred and I are going to keep yelling at each other off air now.
I think we got about one-tenth of the emails, Red.
If I can get it through my fat face.
We'll try to handle that. We'll try to come up with that.
All right. Okay, so John's coming up. And by the way, 4:30 during Pete Shepard's show, he'll have Peter King.
If
you want to tune in for that, that should be fun. All right. Thanks for this. And Paul and I need to go duke it out. We'll talk to you later.
Smiling by my table, had a call of every woman a day. Beautiful mind and body, what a happy ending I see. My mind had been enabled, in the memory you overflow. I wanna be your superhero, or even if I tumble fall.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.